you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Don't they just put on a show that just knocks your ass off?
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean,
can you get your ass knocked off? Is that a physical possibility?
I don't think that's even an expression, Kevin, much less a physical possibility.
I'm not even going to comment on that.
Cloudy with patchy fog and drizzle this morning, partial clearing this afternoon. We're looking for highs in the upper 60s to the mid 70s.
Talk to the hand.
Let's see here. Hold on. Michael.
President. Why are you and the vice president insisting on appearing together before the 9/11 commission?
Because the 9/11 commission wants to ask us questions. That's why we're meeting, and I look forward to meeting with them and answering their questions.
So, Mr. President, I was asking why you're appearing together rather than separately, which was their request.
Because it's a good chance for both of us to answer questions that the 9/11 commission is looking forward to asking us, and I'm looking forward to answering them. Let's see.
Wow.
Hold on for a minute. Let's see. Oh,
and now.
No regrets. That's my motto.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
Oh, that's not how it's supposed to go. Sorry about that.
Yes, you will. Huh. Beat is unable to work his machines anymore.
I don't know what's going on. I got nothing but troubles lately. It's weird.
You got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one, right?
Exactly. You are correct.
I got to tell you, that George Bush clip might be one of my favorites of all time of his. I mean, he seems like he's in third grade again, and the teacher's asking him why he doesn't have his homework.
Yeah.
And he just comes up with the lamest thing because they want to ask us questions.
And I look forward to answering them. Yeah.
Exactly. And if it were a regular conversation with a regular person, I mean, if you were having that conversation with somebody at your work or in the course of your business day, you would say, but wait a minute, you're not answering the question. Why together? Why not separately, which is what they asked for.
It's a good opportunity for us. No, stop it.
But the president, being the president, gets to say, okay, I'm done with you. No more for you.
Yeah. Yep. Well, that's our man right there, huh?
Pretty lame.
Another two good years. Time. It's going to be good times. It's good, time. Good morning.
Hey, don't look at us, man. You voted for him, all right? Don't you dare come in here and look at us.
You guys didn't put up anybody that would have been better. That's the problem.
Well, you don't
anybody
know that.
Anybody would have been better.
Please.
Please.
All right. Good morning, everybody. It's Monday. It is the 4th of Double December.
Nice melons.
Absolutely. Lisa, how was your weekend?
Good. It was good. I, of course, went to see the Light of the Piazza at the Amundsen.
I'm sorry, I asked. Bean, how was your weekend?
And I saw Casino Royale.
Oh, you did?
Which was really good.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
I enjoyed it very much.
Lisa lost us and then got us right back.
I know, I did.
Yeah, exactly.
I had to keep going. I had to power through.
Yeah.
Casino Royale, by the way, on track. That's the new James Bond film for folks who don't recognize the name. On track to be the most successful James Bond movie ever, box office. Isn't that unbelievable?
Oh, wow, yeah, that is.
I mean, that's really saying something. I mean, that is a testament to this Daniel Craig, who, if you'll recall, just got a firestorm of hate when he was announced as James Bond. I mean, do you remember he was the most despised man on the planet when he was named as the new Bond?
And all the stories that came out while they were filming about how weak he was.
Can't drive a stick shift and all that stuff. Yeah.
I don't think that's true.
Turns out
I think a lot of that stuff was just tabloid stuff, you know, to kind of stir it up. But I just spent, you know, the weekend like everybody else, just waiting for K-Rock to play stupid Foo Fighters. That's all. Just sit around, just wait. Where's Everlong? Just sleeping in shifts, just getting people to listen and then calling me. And
well, and writing hate letters.
And writing hate letters to Kevin and B because it's our fault.
Yeah.
Because it was our decision.
Well,
exactly.
If you're just tuning in this morning and you're afraid you missed it, I'm very happy to announce that you didn't.
You did not miss it, no.
That we haven't played it yet.
Still to come.
But it's still coming up, and it could come soon. It obviously has to be soon, because the concerts are this Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
So it's probably going to be, if I could just give you a little hint, it's probably going to be an hour before the show. Okay? So then you're going to have to call, get tickets, get dressed, drive down there. That's all right.
I won't sign off on that, I will say that I believe it is safe to announce it'll be this week.
Excellent. Good.
I think it'll be this week. Good. I think I can say that safely.
Because I was thinking of going next week, but I think I'll go
this
week. This
week. I think it's going to be this week.
That's a good call.
But again, and Kevin brought up an excellent point last week. So please mark that on your calendar. Let me put it this way. You don't have to listen if you don't want to try to buy tickets when they go on sale. It's certainly not mandatory, okay?
Right.
But if you do, if you choose to, you will have a better chance of buying tickets than probably any Acoustic Christmas on sale that we've ever done here, because only the people listening will know the tickets are going on sale. So it may not be, you know, your idea of a great time, but it will be worth it for more people when it plays.
That's right.
Would you say that's fair?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, I would. And I know that we're already, that people already have their letters written for when it does go on sale and they don't get tickets. So just go ahead and trash those. We know what you're going to write.
Coach Madden, what do you think about the ticket on sale?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's okay.
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
That's great news.
I had to, I don't watch. There's so much football on Sundays that by the time it gets to the Sunday night game, unless it's a game you're invested in, you don't always tune in. It's not like when John and Al were doing Monday Night Football where you watched every week because it was the only game on, right?
Right.
But last night I did catch the entirety of the game because the Seahawks were playing, right?
It was a great game, too.
It was, it was more tense than it needed to be, that's for sure. But John Madden, he just loves the sound of his own voice, doesn't he?
He rules, is what he does.
He's got no filter. That's the thing you love about him, I know.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, he believes that every word out of his mouth is gold, and clearly it's not. And that's me, pretty much, so that's why I like him.
But anyway, Psycho Mike's Cowboys continue to rule. I don't know what the deal is there, but they are, you know, people are saying they're looking like the team to go, you know, deep this year.
Deep, but not Super Bowl, right? I mean.
Yep.
What do you think, Mike?
I think so.
Well, what do you think he thinks?
Well,
he's a Cowboy fan.
I know, but you can be a Cowboys fan and have objectivity and subjectivity. You can root for them, want them to win, but not believe that they will.
You can do that for almost any other team, but if you're a Cowboy fan, that's not acceptable.
or a Raider fan.
Yeah.
I don't see someone in the NFC, including the Bears, including Seahawks, being able to surmount the Cowboys when they're on their game, and I find them going to the Super Bowl and Kevin paying me money.
Oh, that's right. We had a little hilarious. Bet. If you made that lousy bet and ended up winning, wouldn't that just be hysterical?
You don't see Chicago being able to beat you?
I honestly think that that's a great defense, and they have this insatiable talent for getting the ball in the end zone on defense. But right. I don't see their offense being good enough to take them to.
Well, they've had their ups and downs. Earlier in the season, they were strong, and now they're kind of.
It's early in the season. Grossman was just not making mistakes. He wasn't really doing anything special. Now he's putting the ball on the ground or in the other team's hands.
Yeah, he's like a little more human
now.
You're right about that. He is a little more human, but they do have an unbelievable defense, that's for sure.
All right, Mr. Big, you want to double it?
Sure.
Fantastic.
Oh, that sounds like a mistake, Mike.
Done. Double bet for Cowboys in Super Bowl. This is a bet that he made with me before the season started, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That the Cowboys would go to the Super Bowl. And no matter what your team looks like at the beginning of the season, so much can happen between then and the Super Bowl. It hasn't yet, but it can, I'm telling you. So so that's why I made that bet, and I don't know why I'm doubling it.
I don't. How many did T.O. drop, Mike?
He is dropping the ball more this year.
Yeah,
than I've
seen. Yeah, he sure is.
I mean, he's just not known for doing that. It seems like once a game he'll have a ball that just hits him in the hands.
Is he helping them?
Yeah, no, he's playing well. Don't get me wrong; he's still effective. But it does seem this year as if something's going on with his hands. Little butterfingers going on.
Yeah.
Well, it was another very exciting, as Lisa knows, another very exciting Sunday of football. I'm so happy to see Reggie Bush doing as well as he is.
Yeah,
you know,
that was great.
Maybe USC should have tried harder to get him to stick around for a fifth or sixth year wherever he was in the program. Maybe they could have used a little help over the weekend.
I saw that game.
You did? Really?
I did.
You watched USC-UCLA?
I did, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's hard not to get invested
to
in that.
Whose house were you at?
No, it was my house, but...
Who came over?
My guy.
Because you're not going to watch that on your own.
No, my guy came over.
It's not like you were sitting at home and said, oh, the game's on.
No.
Gotta
not
find
at
it.
All. Yeah. But it was funny because at first I was really frustrated. I'm like, I can't see the ball.
Can't see the ball.
I can't. So he's like, okay, there's the guy with... Because my TV's not that big, number one. And they're a little bit fuzzy, and it's hard to see what's happening when they...
I got to be honest. I've heard that a lot with hockey. Can't follow the puck. I've never one time heard a person say they can't see the ball.
Well, there's just so many people, and then the
most of them can't hold the ball. So you just look at the few that can.
Well, apparently that's something you learn along
Lisa's
the way.
Eyes aren't trained yet. She can't see the ball in basketball, okay?
Wow.
No, I was getting it. I was kind of getting into it.
Okay, good.
Actually, after I kind of figured out where
after
to look.
After he had to show you who had the ball?
Well, it's hard to watch.
All right.
Follow.
It's not hard to watch.
It's hard to follow.
Maybe that's only because we've been doing it for so long.
Well, you probably have like a TV the size of your living room now, too. That doesn't hurt.
I know we're going to move on and talk about today's very action-packed Kevin and Bean show, but what was the line on that game, the USC-UCLA game? How much were the Trojans favored by?
I don't remember, but I do know that we have to call that furniture store. What did you see that? There's a furniture store locally who was saying that the line was 14, Dave is telling me. There's a furniture store saying that if you buy furniture at their place leading up to the USC-UCLA game and UCLA wins, they will refund everyone's money.
Oh, no.
Dude, I can't believe someone would do that because, you know, somebody did that in the Midwest this year and lost $100,000 or something because of a game. Who would follow in those footsteps?
Somebody locally, I'll tell you that.
Unbelievable. Well, I that's a great idea. We totally have to call them then.
I think it's HD Buttercup. That's the name of the store.
They put up.
That's the place that's right down the street from K-Rock.
Oh, is it really?
That's the place. That place is 1 minute from here.
I'm going to have to go down there and say, I forgot my receipt, but I bought a couch.
I bought furniture for a whole house. Oh. Wow, how about that?
And one last thing before we talk about today's Kevin and Mean Show.
Lakers!
Sorry, King.
Hey, the man. Thank you.
Oh, I see little tiny portraits of American statesmen being traded hands here.
I'm sorry, what, Dave?
Christmas is ruined.
Oh, no.
No presents for us because stupid Kevin won the bet?
Exactly.
That's too bad.
Kevin.
I'm good with that. Yes. See you, Dave. Good talking to you.
Hi, Dave.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
All right.
We are going to talk to some Miss Double December finalists today.
That's what I'm talking about.
Got the final 10 up. I'm not positive if they're up on the website yet. I think they're supposed to be. They are. Okay, good. So you can vote on the final 10 for Kevin and Bean's Miss Double December, and we're going to talk to a few of them today. We're going to talk to two girls each day this week. Mm-hmm. Also on the show today, we're going to talk about a website where you can upload a photo of yourself, and then it'll bring back results based on all of your facial features of who you look like, what celebrity you look like.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about this.
How funny.
So, and I'll just give you one quick hint. Psycho Mike, the number one, his highest rating, the person that he looks the most like, is Allen Iverson from the Philadelphia 76ers.
Really?
Who's like a short little black guy who's a brilliant basketball player, but Psycho Mike, that's the number one match.
I'm gangster, dog.
That's bizarre, isn't it?
I don't think you look like him at all.
No, I don't have cornrows or black skin.
No?
There's nothing about you that looks like him.
Or facial hair.
So that's a great sight right there. Also, we got a website to turn you on to. It's called Sugar Daddy for Me, and that's, you know, that's where you want to find a rich guy.
Sure. Or a woman.
Or a woman, yeah. It goes both ways, yeah. If you're a guy that's looking for a woman to take care of you, they'll do that too. Mm-hmm. We got to talk about Happy Feet and how this is just a far-left propagandist tool. And we're not going to take it anymore.
That's what some conservatives are saying. They're saying it's the liberal media pushing their agenda on kids, and it's shameful and shouldn't be allowed.
Wow.
What do you say to that? We'll take a quick break, and we'll come back. Ralph has the showbiz beat coming up next. I just got electrocuted. I put on my headphones, and I was like, sparks going into my head. Yeah. What the hell was that? Why is that mic? Oh, you're on that one. Okay.
Oh,
there you go.
Sorry. I'll go on this one now.
All right. Yeah, I almost got electrocuted right there. That was cool.
You know why? There's so much space between your ears. Static electricity builds up.
Is that it?
It is, yeah. It's like rubbing your feet on the carpet.
I should pack it with something.
You should. Oh. 5:52 Monday morning on the Kevin Bean Show. Ralph Garvin is here. Ralph, how was your weekend?
It was nice. Low-key. Didn't do much. Kind of kicked back. Hung out with our boy Kevin Smith.
Oh,
right.
He did that
Stanley
thing
on
Friday
Saturday.
Night? Oh, Saturday.
Saturday night.
Yeah, it was a good time. It was so funny because, you know, I stayed home and watched the big game, watched the SC-UCLA game, and then pretty much right after that, it was this reception before the event, and then the evening with Stanley and Kevin Smith was moderating, and Kevin says, only a bunch of effing comic book nerds would plan an event at UCLA campus the day of the biggest football game of the season.
Yeah,
hey, who's playing at UCLA? At USC? Oh, it's not a big game. Okay, let's put something on campus. It was just madness trying to get in there. And Westwood was just going off. So
I'm sure.
Traffic was a nightmare. But it was kind of fun to be on UCLA campus that night, though, I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. I have to ask, because the Kevin Smith event that you mentioned was a Marvel Comics deal. How many girls in the audience?
Many more than I expected.
Really?
So three?
About a quarter of the audience was women.
Wow.
Yeah, I was really surprised. Hmm. I don't know how many of them were dates for their, you know, comic book geek boyfriends or whatever.
All of them.
I was stunned to find about a quarter of the audience was girls. Yeah.
Very cool.
It was actually a very fun event. And Kevin's always so funny
he's good.
He's
on
great.
Stage. If you get a chance to pick it up, this DVD, he has Evening Harder, the second in a series of him doing live in the round sort of Q&A concert events on campuses is outstanding. I took a look at it over the weekend. It's very, very funny.
Cool. So
check it out.
We had him in again last week. He's got to be in my top five of favorite guests that I just really look forward to every time he stops by. It's just
well,
a cool
it, dude. It's effortless. You just turn on the microphone, he just talks, and good stuff comes out. You know, it's nice to talk to somebody like that. Let's take a look at the weekend.
Are you insinuating that you don't that we're not like that?
No, no. Yeah. Every time you open your mouth, gold just
something
falls
good comes
right out.
All right.
Yeah. Something comes out. Hey. top movies at the box office this weekend. Boy, people just love these effing penguins, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Happy Feet, once again, number one at the box office, making an additional $17 million this weekend.
Jackpot. Propaganda, my friend. Propaganda.
Yeah, right. So I heard. Casino Royale, the James Bond movie, made a little over $15 million. Good enough to make it number two this weekend. Deja Vu was third. Then the Nativity Story. Of course, it's that time of year where you can tell a story about the baby Jesus and people will actually go. Made $8 million. Number four at the box office this weekend. Deck the Halls and the Santa Claus 3. Then Borat, Turistas, and its debut was number eight. Stranger Than Fiction. Then National Lampoon's Van Wilder 2, The Rise of Taj.
Sorry, super whore.
Why? Did she want that to be number
one? She, yeah, she loved it. She loved that movie. She was so excited about that movie
well,
coming out.
She's fired then, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Gone.
By the way, that Deck the Halls and Santa Claus 3, coincidentally also playing at the Cineplex in Hell this weekend.
How about that?
Those same two movies.
Word is out that George Clooney says he and Danny DeVito got juiced up on red wine, vodka, and limoncello the night that he went on The View.
Excellent.
However, the person who really suffered out of the three guys who were drinking together was George Clooney's PR guy, Stan Rosenfeld. It was Stan, Danny, and George. Stan apparently can't hold his liquor as well as the other two guys since he threw up three times in the course of the evening.
Oh, no.
That's a bad combo right there. Red wine, vodka, and limoncello. That'll do you in. Actually, I have more respect for Danny DeVito than ever now, considering how well he acquitted himself.
It's a unique interview style, I'll tell you that.
Given what he drank, that was remarkably coherent. Big ups for the little man.
I just threw up.
VH1's Big in 06 awards were last night. I don't know if you guys caught any of that.
Are you kidding? My world stopped. Oh, wait, no, I didn't know what was on.
Here's some of the big winners. Big TV star in 06, Kiefer Sutherland. Sure, that makes sense. Big Mama, Britney Spears.
Okay.
Big Mama, that's a category?
It's a category. Well, they pick the celebrities they want to talk about, and then they sort of write categories around them.
Oh,
pretty
I see.
Much
okay.
That's how it works. Big music artist, Justin Timberlake. Remember that Clipper song he did?
Oh, that was good.
Don't Eat Jack. Yeah. Oh, man.
That was good.
That's some of his best work. I really
Clipper Nation's back.
Yeah, go Justin. Go Tim.
The Laker fans don't know how to act.
Go JT.
The Lakers suck, and we know that.
Yeah, how about that?
It's going to sting after a loss against the Lakers.
Turns out that's not the case, and I have $20 to prove it.
And big it girl of 06, Catherine McPhee.
Oh.
That's what I'm talking about. How do you like
Very
me now?
Nice. Is her album ever going to come out, or are they going to wait till every single person that voted for her from American Idol forgot about her?
This month. This month it comes out. Sometime this month.
Gentlemen, start your boners.
Just in time for the Festivus season. We get to check that out. Did Kevin Federline cheat on Britney Spears with a porn star in Vegas?
She's claiming that he did, right?
Yeah, Kendrick Jade in 2005, apparently that's when they met. And she said they haven't been having an affair, they're just friends who have sex.
Oh, well that's okay.
That's all right then. However, coming out of the story is another woman who has stepped forward. She's told In Touch magazine, she's an internet stripper. She said that she, too, had an affair with Kevin Federline while Britney was pregnant with their second child.
Yeah.
Good to see Kevin's social life wasn't suffering while Britney was pregnant.
Exactly.
He's a delight.
Speaking of the dynamic duo, Britney says she's invigorated by her new party life with her best friend Paris Hilton.
Great.
She says now she realizes she's young and hot and tons of men would kill to be with her.
Who realizes that?
Britney Spears does.
Oh, okay.
You know who would kill to be with you, Britney? Speaking of men, your two small boys. your two young children at home. They would really like to be with you.
That's hot.
When you're out partying with Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
They'd like that. Tragic news, speaking of babies, In Touch magazine reports that Anna Nicole Smith wants to have another baby.
Oh, for God's sake!
That isn't good for you.
We need to have a...
top secret government team kidnap her and make things right so she could never do that again.
Top secret? Just drop a nuke on the Bahamas. No one would blame us. In Touch magazine reports that she wants to have a boy as soon as possible with her lawyer slash boyfriend slash sycophant,
please,
Howard K. Stern.
She understands this won't bring Daniel back, right?
I don't think she does.
I don't think she does.
I'm guessing she doesn't. No.
You're right. Mm-mm. I think she's tragically confused. Pearl Jam did a secret show on Thursday in Hawaii. Did you hear about this?
No, but I know they're going to play with U2 there coming up soon. Week or two.
This was for the Quicksilver Big Wave International Surfing Competition.
Cool.
Apparently, Eddie is real good friends with Kelly Slater, who hosted the event. And he said, oh, I'll come out and, you know, we'll do some songs.
That's
so
pretty cool.
300 people show up for this surfing competition. They get treated to a 15-song set by Pearl Jam.
Oh, my God.
Nice. That's a nice surprise.
No kidding.
As Kevin mentioned, this week Pearl Jam will open the final concert of U2's Vertigo tour at Honolulu's Aloha Stadium, so they were in town anyway. But that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
Gwen Stefani's announced she's hitting the road in the spring. She's going to do arenas and outdoor venues throughout North America. Starting April 21st, she kicks off her tour in Phoenix, and she will wrap up the tour here at home in Irvine, California, on June 22nd. So you can check that out. Now, I bet you there's going to be lots of yodeling during that tour.
Hey, Ralph. Hi, I'm here with the lonely goat.
Lay, oh, lay, oh, lay. There's Gwen. Will Gavin Rosdale ever make another record? Or
why?
Is he just changing diapers at
why
home now?
Why would he have to
time
make a record?
Well, I'm just saying he used to have quite a career. He's invisible now.
He just wants somebody to talk to peanut butter with?
Yes.
No, but you know what I'm saying? It's just weird to see such a high-profile star just vanish like he did.
Look what he comes home to every night.
Well, I understand
she's
that.
She's pulling in huge cash. He's not hurting for money. He's living the life. He's doing exactly what you should do in that case. Let your smoking hot wife go out there and make tons of money, sit home, drink beer, watch the kids.
Yeah, I guess most of us would do that if we had the chance.
Tune into the Red Zone channel. Listen to Andrew. Give you 9 games at once. Watch any Andrew this weekend?
Taped the whole thing so
I
could
did
watch
you
it. Yeah, because I was busy yesterday. But
oh, it's magical again.
Love that.
And lastly, R. Kelly has announced that he is releasing another CD.
Yes.
Is it Trapped in the Closet?
Tragically,
is it?
No. It's no further
Boo
chapters as of yet for Trapped in the Closet. It's going to be a musical album entitled Making Babies. Given
making
his indiscretions
babies
with underage females, maybe he wants to rethink that title. It would seem off to me. But what do I know? I don't
work. You can't get pregnant if he pees on you.
What?
That is
okay.
That is true. I mean, it's hard to argue.
Happy
with
Monday, everybody.
Medical fact. I'm just saying, R. Kelly may not be the guy who knows about making babies. He doesn't seem to have figured it out yet. The bed, then opens the dresser. He looks at the closet.
Got to be honest with y'all, the Beretta, I really needed a rhyme word for dresser. You know, and Beretta just came out.
So
but
Beretta
at the same time,
was
it
a
makes
choice
sense. That's the interesting thing about Trapped in the Closet.
Yeah.
When
that it
it's rhyming all the way through, if you notice. Some people don't even notice because they'd be so into the story that they don't really realize that there's rhyming all the way through this Trapped in the Closet.
I did notice that dresser doesn't rhyme with Beretta.
More interesting, you know, and I don't even know how that happened.
Dresser and Beretta. He just comes to him. It's divine inspiration.
Wow, clearly.
This is bullshit, man.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Max Baer Jr., guy who played Jethro Bodine on the Beverly Hillbillies, is 69 years old today.
Wow.
69. Marissa Tomei.
Ooh.
Talented and adorable actress. You see her in those Hanes t-shirt commercials they got her?
Oh, no, I haven't seen
that. Dressing in the Hanes underwear. Oh, she's so cute. 42 years old today. Jeff Bridges. What did I say?
Bridges.
Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
Pretty much my favorite goddamn actor in the world. He's 57 years old today. Jay-Z turns 37 years old today. And giant forehead model Tyra Banks turns 33 years old today.
She's a forehead model?
Yeah, that's what she does.
All right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, by the way. Well, although I didn't send her a birthday card this year, you guys will be happy to know.
Well, yes. We got you covered, Bean. We sent her a birthday card.
From you.
And a razor blade. And, and directions, how to apply it to her wrist.
Oh, don't say
so
that.
We'll see how that pans out.
Take the appropriate action.
Hi, this is Tyra Banks. Bean and I can't come to the phone right now, so leave a message for us at the tone, and we'll get back to you later. Bye.
How many tubs of forehead wax do you think she gets every year on her birthday? She just must have closets full of this stuff.
I have provided, in fact.
She opens it up, and then there's just a big jar of like surfboard wax for foreheads, and she spent the whole day just polishing it up.
I make it for her.
Oh. I heard you the first time. I was just trying to save everyone.
When you hear that happen, just turn the mic down, Kevin. You got the controls over there.
Isn't that insane? Not crazy?
Is it too
I got
rolled?
The strangest feeling someone's going to kick his ass.
Two immediate times where you just hit that pot right down.
Yeah, you're right.
Kevin starts, Bean starts talking about making something for Tyro. Anything, whatever that is.
Right. Salve.
And then at least his theater reviews. Anytime the play comes in, just, you know.
Okay.
Didn't review it. I just mentioned attendance.
You don't know how it hurts us, though. You just don't know. You don't know.
I just rub it on her forehead. That's all.
See, that's what I'm talking about. These are the kind of situations we should be listening to Blissful Silence. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
First, tell me what's going on with the boobs.
I'm sorry?
I said, first, tell me what's going on with the boobs. Aren't we supposed to be talking to a Miss Double December contestant this hour?
Yes, we are. In about 10 minutes, as a matter of fact.
And it's a good one, folks. Go to krock.com, click on the Kevin and Bean section. You can see the 10 finalists for Miss Double December, and I think we'll be talking to the lovely Christy in about 15 minutes or so. She is vying for the title and the honor of being Kevin and Bean's Miss Double December 2007. So we know how she looks. Now we'll find out what she's all about coming up in about 10 minutes.
All right, I don't know if you've seen this this story, but the Happy Feet movie?
Uh-huh.
Far-left propaganda.
Far left?
Yes.
Okay.
Fox News, hard to believe. Neil Cavuto, I think is the guy's name. I don't know this guy, but apparently
he's one of their big guns. He's a very popular full-time talk show host. He's on every day.
This is him talking about Happy Feet.
Well, those cute little penguins in Happy Feet winning at the box office, earning more than $42 million. And in the movie, the penguins are starving. The fish are all gone. And it's clear that humans and big business are to blame. Is Hollywood using kids' films to promote a far-left message?
But he's talking about Happy Feet, America's number one film, 3 weeks in a row. Aren't there lots of animals that are having trouble finding food because of the oceans and what's going on with the ice melting and stuff?
That's, I mean, that's not the point, Bean.
Bean, come on. It's Hollywood getting together and deciding that they want to teach our kids a valuable lesson about what they believe. And then they make a movie based on that, right?
Right.
Do I have that right?
Yes.
Well, that's according to Mr. Cavuto, yeah.
I mean, this is... and then he goes on to talk about what he found offensive.
What I found offensive is that they shoved this in a kid's movie. So you hear the penguins are starving, and they're starving because of mean old man, mean old companies, Arctic fishing, a big taboo. And they're foisting this on my kids, who frankly were more bored that it was a nearly two-hour movie, and they're kids.
What is he talking about? Make up your mind. Are you upset that it has a bad message or that it's long and boring? What is this guy's problem?
Well, we weren't able to get a call returned from Fox News, but we did light up Kenneth Strickland. He is the spokesperson for the Conservative Family Conservation Conservatory, I think it's the... Mr. Strickland, I'm sorry. I just want to make sure.
Are sorry. I've heard your show before. You are sorry, yes.
Oh, no.
Sir, let's not be combative. I just want to make sure I got the name of the group right. It's the Conservative Family Conservation Conservatory?
Yes, the FCCC.
The CFCC,
rather.
Okay, good. Very good, sir. All right, we're not going to ask you to speak for Mr. Cavuto, but do you have any thoughts about the comments that he made on Fox News about the number one film, Happy Feet?
The only thought I have regarding Mr. Cavuto's statements is that he's absolutely goddamned right.
I'm sorry?
Okay. Absolutely goddamned right.
But isn't it a legitimate plot line in a film about penguins to address some of the things that are actually happening to real penguins in the world today? I mean,
whether it's actually happening or not is completely subjective. It's completely up for grabs. And I don't like, much like Mr. Cavuto, I don't like Hollywood shoving their left-wing propaganda down my children's throats. If there's anyone who's going to shove anything down my children's throats, it's going to be me.
Oh, that was an obvious statement right there. That's not something I wanted to hear today.
Do the shoving, Hollywood. That's what I'm telling them. But I don't want any more Hollywood liberal crap being packaged as entertainment and then force-fed to my children. If anyone's going to force-feed my children, it's going to be me.
Okay, all right.
Mr. Strickland, what's the downside of your 5-year-old or your 10-year-old coming out of that movie and going, wow, I should be concerned about the penguins. I should care about whether the penguins find food or not. I mean, how can that go wrong?
Well, first of all, who really gives a rat's ass about a penguin? But secondly, there's not going to be any more fish in the sea if we keep overfishing it and if we keep polluting the oceans. How about beef? How about veal? There's plenty to eat. Are we starving okay. in this country?
Well,
no, but you're saying you're fine if all the fish die?
Hamburger then. Oh, no more fish. Okay, I'll just have the fries.
Well, all right, that's too big a topic for us to get into, but
Al Gore. Oh, sorry. Oh, everything's getting so hot. Yeah, well, I live in Denver, Colorado, my friend. It was 18 degrees yesterday, okay?
Yeah.
Do you see this as an ongoing problem because so many movies are made in Los Angeles? Do you see this sort of liberal propaganda? Really?
Constantly we're seeing Hollywood push its liberal leftist agenda on children constantly. It's been going on for generations now, and frankly, we here at the Conservative Family Conservation Conservatory need it to stop.
Constantly.
I'm surprised to hear you say that, because when Mr. Cavuto brought this up, it seemed like it just came so out of the blue that I thought, well,
No. This has been going on for some time now. You can look back at movies that even I watch as a children. Now that I see in retrospect, I can tell the left-wing slant that they had.
Right.
Bambi, for instance. Bambi. Bambi's mother gets shot by a hunter.
Yeah.
Oh, and they're supposed to feel sad. Oh, that's bad. Oh, the hunter killed Bambi's mother, who's a deer.
Yeah.
I don't need them gun control lessons coming from Walt Disney, okay?
But I don't need
anti-hunting messages coming from Walt Disney, okay?
But I
it's
think
good
the point
to kill a deer. It's fun to kill a deer. Where's that point of view, my friend?
Wow.
I think the story was about the deer family, though, and the impact of losing the mom on Bambi.
Oh, I lost my mommy. You're a deer. You're born to die. That's your job.
Well, that movie clearly didn't have any impact on you.
No, it did not. It taught me that I want to kill some more deer to try to even the balance of nature.
You sound a little angry, Ken.
Yeah.
I have reason to be angry. Okay. How about The Sound of Music? How about that film they show on television every year?
The Sound of Music.
The leftist agenda in
what?
That film.
What's the leftist agenda in The Sound of Music?
Well, it teaches children that it's okay to run away from authorities. Oh, the Nazis go to get the Van Trapp family. Oh, they're going to escape. They're going to run over the Alps and get away from the Nazis.
Yeah.
So they should have just stayed?
Absolutely. The Nazis are in charge. Listen to who's in charge.
Wait a minute. Even if it's the Nazis?
Hey, what's wrong with the Nazis?
They killed people?
Sure, but they did some good things.
this was just survival. This was just trying to protect your family and get away before you get killed.
More films like Casino Royale. That's a popular film in the theaters right now. That's
okay.
The kind of film that we need. Those are the kind of messages we need to send.
What messages does that send?
What about that scene where James Bond is just looking all buff and naked, strapped to a chair, and there's a guy hit him in the balls with a huge knotted rope?
You want your kids to see that?
No, I just thought it was hot.
This doesn't make any sense to us, Kenneth, if you don't mind my saying so.
Can't make any sense to me. You didn't get on that last joke.
Yeah, that's fascinating and all. I'd like to hear you talk about it all day long, but it is the most wonderful time of the year, Kevin. It's time to meet our first Miss Double December contestant.
Yeah, we have the top 10 at krock.com, and you can go there and you can vote for who you think should be Miss Double December.
Here she comes. She's our Miss Double December. She's an angel, and just look at those cans. She's got big guns, baby, she's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my penis is hard.
All right, let's say good morning to Christina. Good morning, Christina.
Hello.
Christina is the first girl, top left. If you go to the K-Rock website, go to the Kevin Amin page, and click on the gigantic set of boobs for Miss Double December. And then another thing pops up, and you can actually vote.
And then you see Christina's gigantic set of boobs, too. Christina, it's great to meet you. Welcome to the Kevin Amin Show. How are you this morning?
It's great to meet all of you also, and I just want to say hello to Lisa May as well.
Yes, hi, Christina.
Yes.
Now, we're going to be interviewing all 10 finalists this week. And by the way, tons of entries this year, so congratulations, first of all, on making it all the way to the top 10. That's a real honor. Why'd you want to be Miss Double December 2007? What's going on in your pretty little head, Christina?
Well, there's a couple of reasons, actually. My brother, who's a chronic listener of your radio station, has motivated me highly and encouraged me definitely to be part of this. And he sees that I can handle the opportunity I've given. And basically, I want to lick Lisa.
Well, listen, that is part of the job. You know, if you don't mind my asking, Christina, isn't it a little weird for your brother to call you and say, "Hey, you've got huge cans. Send a picture in."
Well, so you got to understand something. We're close. We're just not Kentucky close.
Okay, good.
That's good.
Now, just checking. Is he using you because he sees this as his end to all the K-Rock concerts and the singles parties and all that stuff? I mean, is he going to make you be his date?
No.
You know, I'm going to have him be my date. But, no, he sees my capabilities, and he just wants the best for me. And being that you guys do rock, he would love for me to have the opportunity.
Now, we have you fill out a questionnaire. 5 questions. What celebrity would you like to be stranded on an island with? You said Mike Ness of Social D.
For sure.
That's a good choice. He's a cool guy. I gambled with him backstage at Acoustic Christmas one year, and I ended up writing on a napkin, I owe Mike Ness $200. It was a total bummer. What would the title of your autobiography be? You put Only for the Beautiful People.
Yes.
Now, Christina, that scares me a little bit because Kevin and Bean, not beautiful. Would we have problems hanging out with you?
Never.
All right.
No, I'm such an open-minded individual, and I'm a beautiful spirit inside and out. And I titled it that because I encounter so many haters throughout my daily life. And
me too.
You know, they just challenge me, and you know, it doesn't intimidate me. It motivates me, and I'm a people pleaser, and I love to be around people. So no, it wouldn't be a problem at all.
You must have pageant experience. That sounds like a pageant answer.
A what? I'm sorry.
Pageant. Have you ever been in a beauty pageant?
Actually, yes, I have. When I was about 5 years old, I go by the nickname Cha-Cha, and that's because the special talent I did was the Spanish dance, and I entered a few of them as a little girl, and I won them, so the nickname stuck with me.
Hey, Cha-Cha, if you're Miss Double December, can you do the Spanish dance for us?
I will definitely teach it to you, and you guys would love it and enjoy it.
Where's the most unusual place?
Cha-Cha has a little bit of a different meaning when you get to be a grown-up, too, by the way.
Where's the most unusual place you've ever made whoopee, and you said the bathroom at work?
Yes, actually, that was on my 18th birthday, and I was working for a Chick's Sporting Goods at the time. Oh. And the second craziest place was on a Southwest Airlines on my way to Vegas. You know, I heard all about the Mile High Club, and I got curious.
Sometimes you have to join that club, right?
Check
yes,
you
I
out.
Did.
All right.
I think I'm the
so,
president.
Cha-Cha's a goer. All right.
If you were a stripper, what one song would you love to dance to? You put Only by Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, yes. Good choice.
That's a staple, sure. And if you could have one superpower, what would it be and why?
I put wings, basically because I love to be free, and I really freaking hate traffic, and I would love to be able to fly through it.
Sure.
Through
sure.
it or over it?
I don't like any limitations, you know?
I got you. All right.
Okay.
Well, Christina, your picture's up. I don't know if you saw it. A couple quick questions about the photo, but it's up at KRock.com. It's the one of you with a sheer white top on, and you're standing what looks like out at the beach or something like that. What was the occasion for which you had this photograph taken?
I was actually putting a portfolio together to do a photo shoot for magazines and video shoots, and that was actually taken in Malibu, and after that picture was taken, I was pretty much falling off the rock by the crash of the wave. It was definitely a good time.
Nice.
And last
Goodness
question.
Sent us the after photo of that, huh?
any history of your boobs you want to tell us about? How long have you had them?
I'm sorry?
How long have you had your boobs, your tremendous breasts?
I've been blessed about 4 years ago.
4 years.
4 years. All right. Fantastic.
Fantastic. I, you know what?
They look great.
We do have to ask one more question. I promise you we're going to ask all the girls this. How old are the photos?
The photos are within 4 to 6 months ago.
Excellent.
A lot of them were taken this last summer.
Okay. Fantastic.
Okay, good deal.
That is me, beautiful from head to toe. I know it's hard to believe, but it's really true.
All right. Christina is on the line. She is at KRock.com along with all the other Miss Double December contestants. She is the first of all 10 that we will speak with this week. But, you know, we've whittled them down to this point. Now it's up to the KRock listeners to vote. And you can go to KRock.com and vote for the girl of your choice. Christina, we may be talking to you again. But either way, thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show on KRock this morning.
I love it. Thank you guys very much. I hope to meet you guys formally.
Thank you. Bye now. Friday morning, Ralph did a story in the Showbiz Beat about the Cat Pack.
Offhandedly, I mentioned that the tabloid media has christened the threesome of Britney Spears, Paris Hilton, and Lindsay Lohan as the Cat Pack, because they're all hanging out together now partying, and of course there's been the famous Rat Pack with Frank Sinatra and his crew, then there was the Brat Pack in the 80s with Judd Nelson and Emilio Estevez and all the Rob Lowe, all the guys who made those movies together, and then there was the Frat Pack now with Will Ferrell and Ben Stiller, those guys who make those comedies. And so they called them the Cat Pack, thinking they were very clever. And we said, that's the lamest name ever.
That is stupid.
So offhandedly, we said, you know, we should come up with a new name for it. Well, the K-Rock listeners grabbed the baton and started racing towards the finish line. I've got a stack of about 100 here that I weeded through of the hundreds that I received. It's amazing how people responded to this, and I really appreciate it.
And I think we need to pick one and make that how we refer to them from now on.
All right, and we'll give that person a prize. I'll keep a. I've got their email addresses here, so I'll send them a T-shirt or something.
The beautiful thing is, if we come up with a good one, then TMZ.com will pick it up,
and
then it'll be everywhere.
That's true. So as I go through these, try to keep in mind that we're trying to find a good one. So I'll put aside the ones we really like.
Okay.
Let's start with Matt, who sent in, how about the Gash Pack? That's pretty strong.
That's pretty funny, yeah. I like that.
This is from Alex. How about the Crotcherazzi?
Crotcherazzi.
Yeah. I get it.
This from D, the Clitorati. That's pretty clever. I like that one. This is from Evan. You have to use your brain a little bit on this one.
I'm out.
Call them the clearly unprofessional National Tramp Squad.
Oh.
But only use the first letter of each word and make a, what would they call that, an acronym.
Yeah. That's funny, but it requires too much description every time we do it.
Not if you just write it with periods after each of the first letters,
I know.
I'll tell you that much.
Thanks for the email. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Yeah. The Pop-Tarts comes from Hector, the Pop-Tarts.
Yeah.
Because they're pop singers.
Not as good.
We have a little, Paris. Pop stars. I know I should, but I can't help but shake my ass every time I hear that song.
Really?
This is from Dean from West Covina. We mentioned this last week. The Gonorrhea Thria.
Awesome.
I like that.
That's got to be in the running. That's a good one.
Awesome.
From Dan, the Sisterhood of the Traveling Panties. That was pretty strong. Mikey says the Bad News Beeves.
Funny, but no.
The Snatch Pack.
Sure,
from Sandoval.
Oh, yeah,
that's pretty strong. Bean's favorite from David, the Three Spooges.
Three Spooges, I love. I do confess, I love that one.
So Rob in Long Beach writes, The Stink Wrinkles, one of my favorites.
That's pretty good. Now, for folks just joining us, we're talking about Paris Hilton, Britney Spears, Lindsay Lohan, who have now, since Britney became single, have all been hanging out together at one of the parties, and it seems like the group of girls needs some sort of a name, and that's what Ralph's talking about here, is the list of all the ones we've been receiving.
Corey recommends the Vagineers. Sounds like a really cool singing group, actually.
Yeah.
Kathy, how about Earth, Wind, and Fire Crotch?
That's good.
Appropriate. Although Lindsay's in and out of this cat pack. You know. She's like the Peter Lawford of this cat pack. Sometimes they let her hang
Peter
out.
Peter Lawford?
Sometimes they don't. He was sort of the hanger-on that Sinatra sometimes would not let hang with the group, and sometimes he would. So, how about the Poondock Saints? Kristen. That's pretty strong.
That's funny. I like that.
The Bitches of Crotchwick?
No.
Clitwits?
No.
How about the Horrorcore from Maddie?
That's not bad.
Horrorcore is pretty good.
That's okay.
The Poontang Clan.
Yeah. I love it.
Love
it.
Yeah.
Love
like
the Poontang Clan.
Kirsten recommends, I refer to all those chicks as the debutards.
That's funny, too.
That's pretty strong. Of course, Howard recommends in time for the holiday season, the Ho-Ho-Hos.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Good. Yeah. Dax was one of our favorites initially. He started calling them the Three Muffeteers, which I thought was pretty strong.
Yeah.
The V-Stooges. For vagina from Steven.
Almost.
Uh-huh. The Three Hormigos.
Awesome.
That's another
Teresa.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
Bob recommended Dumb, Dumber, and Dumbest.
Yeah.
Pretty strong. And along those lines, Ooey, Gooey, and Chewy. Which is which? I don't know. Recommends one listener. Jessica says, only one word came to mind when you asked for a new name for Lindsay, Brittany, and Paris. Whores!
Well, there is that, but it's not very funny.
It's simple.
Whore!
The Poon Platoon.
It's not as good as Poontang Clan.
All right.
So.
Hoochie Crew?
Nah.
Unbelievable how many of these you have, Ralph.
No, I'm telling you, and these are the ones I pulled from, I don't know, three times this.
Wow.
The Tri-Infectia. if you're a race fan, you might appreciate that one from Vanessa.
I like that one.
The Tri-Infectia.
That's good.
The Twat Pack. Yeah. Sort of a takeoff on Cat Pack.
Sure.
The ST Divas.
Good.
I like that one.
Good.
And lastly, I got two here from Pablo. The Six-Lipped Man-Eater.
Oh,
I'm in.
And Queefwood Mac.
Oh, come on.
That was pretty strong.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Queefwood Mac.
So let me recap our finalists, and you guys tell me one just jumps at it.
Okay.
We had Queefwood Mac.
Yes.
And Six-Lipped Man-Eater, both of those from Pablo.
Good.
The Tri-Infectia from Vanessa.
Okay.
We had the Three Hormigos.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The Three Muffeteers.
Okay.
The Debutards, pretty strong. The Poontang Clan from Gil. That's a popular one in the room. The Stink Wrinkles from So Rob. The Three Spooges from Dave. Snatch Pack.
Okay.
We had the Gonorrhea Thria from Dean in West Covina. The Clitorati from D. And the Gash Pack from Matt.
That's a nice collection right there.
It is a good collection right there. So I don't know.
We have to just pick one, or can we keep a couple of them around?
Well, we could use any ones we want, but okay. I want to send something special to somebody who really stands
out. I think out of all those, my favorite is the Poontang Clan.
I'm leaning towards Poontang Clan.
That's pretty strong.
It's very creative.
That's my best there.
I agree, guys. Okay. I think that's our winner.
So Gil from Long Beach, we appreciate your submission, and we will be sending you a limited edition K-Rock Kevin and Bean t-shirt.
It's so limited, we don't have any.
Don't we have any Christmas CD t-shirts?
Oh, we might have some of those hanging
around still. So anyway, Gil, we'll send one of those out to you. Thanks so much for the Poontang Clan as the new name for the Cat Pack.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph. What's going on?
My dryer has a feature on it that you can take the signal that tells you when the dryer is finished. It can be a loud signal, or you can turn it down all the way down to the no signal, any level of sound in between.
It's
a miracle.
That's the story that we had to listen to about Bean's microwave during the Incubus song. So you had the better end of it.
Your lame dryer, everybody does that. This microwave has sensor reheat. I'm just saying you push one button,
right,
and it perfectly reheats your food.
I'm saying no one gives an F about the features on your microwave. No one. No one gives a goddamn.
You don't have to enter time. You don't have to enter power. You don't have to do anything. Put it in. Push a button.
Says there no one cell in your brain that says, you know what, I should just shut the F up right now.
Well, when I'm enjoying some honey walnut prawns and chicken fried rice in about 5 minutes here, I'm going to have the last laugh. That's all I'm saying.
Well, what we're saying is prawns. We don't care.
Prawns is not a burn.
Get one friend that you can tell this useless crap to.
I may have to bring my blog back, you
Fine.
Guys.
Fine.
Bring it back. To. You made a lot of fun of me for having the blog. It may be time to bring it back.
My microwave is special.
It's Carrick FM, Pasadena, Los Angeles. Ralph, what's going on beyond my microwave?
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. People can't get enough of the freaking Dancing Penguins. $17 million made it number one at the box office this weekend. Casino Royale was right behind that with a little over $15 million, made it number two. Deja Vu was $11 million at the box office. Then The Nativity Story made about $8 million, made it number four. Deck the Halls was five. The Santa Claus...
Sorry, Ralph. I just wondered, do you think anyone went to see Deja Vu twice in a row just because it would be funny?
No.
Okay, back to you.
That's the joke he stopped me for.
Yes.
I'd rather hear about the microwave. The Santa Claus 3 was number 6, Borat was 7, Turistas was number 8, Stranger Than Fiction was number 9, and then National Lampoon's Van Wilder 2, The Rise of Taj, debuted at $2.3 million this weekend.
Ouch. They cleaned up, right?
Oh, huge numbers.
Mike, how was Borat? You promised you'd go see it this weekend.
Oh, that's right.
Or you wouldn't come in.
It was awesome.
Ugh.
You haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I did, dude.
You didn't see it. Tell us one scene that we haven't talked about on the air yet.
The one where the guy...
Get out.
Oh, my God.
Just get out.
Just what happened? Tell us what happens in the elevator. Just tell us what happens in the elevator.
Naked wrestling.
No.
Nope.
You struggle,
there's
Mike.
There's poo involved.
Nope.
Mm-mm. There's a penis.
Can we follow her and maybe make a sexy time with her?
No.
Why not?
Because a woman has a right to choose who she has sex with.
What?
How about that? That's good, huh?
It's not good for me.
No, it's not. Lindsay Lohan didn't go home for Thanksgiving this year.
Oh.
According to Star Magazine, it's because she knew her mother was ready to stage an intervention for her.
Really?
She caught wind of the intervention and decided to stay in Hollywood at the Chateau Marmont rather than go home because she didn't want to have to deal with her mother springing the intervention on her. Good times at the Lohan household.
No kidding.
Yeah. So she just stayed in the hotel and drank for Thanksgiving. That's not sad at all. Kevin Federline has a plan to turn around his failing career.
Really?
Are you ready? Okay. He has approached executive producer Kenneth Creer, the man responsible for House of Carters.
Yes.
And started working on his very own reality TV show. We're in talks about this. We're in talks about this, he said, because he loves the way he shot House of Carters. He said he made Nick Carter look real and trustworthy.
What?
He's a homo.
Gave people a different perspective of him and made people really respect him. Has he seen an episode of House of Carters?
No kidding.
Yeah, so it's going to happen, people.
And by the way, regardless of how you feel about Nick and Aaron Carter, they at least are platinum recording artists. At least they have a fan base, and they have the right to say, hey, look at me. Kevin Federline, you have done nothing, ever.
Yeah, but I'd watch.
I would, too.
He's like, I'm fascinated by his badness. He's bad on every level.
Yeah.
There's nothing good about him.
He is without redeeming qualities.
Yeah. Plus,
he's a homo.
Speaking of reality television, do you guys want to see another season of Gene Simmons' Family Jewels?
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
A&E, the cable channel that aired Family Jewels, has already ordered up a second season of 20 episodes of the show. Production's already started. The new shows will begin airing sometime early in 2007. So you get to see Gene come back and
I like his
entertain
kids.
Us all.
That's because
his kids are
really cool.
Witty, and they put him down every chance they get.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gene doesn't come off as the real leader of that group when he's on that show.
However, it's really smart of him because it gives you a whole better view of him.
Yeah.
Gene, what would you like to see in your second season of your reality show? Anything you particularly would like to do?
I'd like Lisa Mae to join the cast of my show.
Oh, would you?
Really?
Lisa Mae, I know that you do traffic.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of traffic, I think there's a sinkhole that I need to explore that you might be.
Oh, Gene. That's the most romantic thing you've ever said to her.
That was nice.
Probably, yeah.
And Britain's Daily Mail reports that Tom Cruise sang You've Lost That Lovin' Feeling to Katie Holmes at their wedding reception.
Oh, no. In his underwear?
That was a different scene.
Yeah.
He sang that in Top Gun at the bar to Kelly McGillis, if you remember that famous scene. In fact, according to this article, Tom was so impressed by how he sounded, he's thinking about maybe releasing a recording.
Oh, please do that.
Oh, no.
Please do that.
He is so delusional.
How dare you?
He is so delusional.
He sues. He's very heterosexual.
Not about the singing part. I mean, thinking that Katie had a loving feeling for him to begin with. Yeah, that's where he's delusional.
Wasn't she like 2 when that movie came out also, by the way?
I believe she was.
Yeah, but he's made her watch it like 50 times.
She was a zygote.
I saw an interview with somebody, one of his celebrity pals, who was at the wedding the other day, and I don't think we spent enough time discussing the fact that he found it necessary to have a 3-minute kiss at the altar with Katie Holmes.
I know.
No, I mentioned that in the showbiz news. I said that people were yelling, stop, at some point. That's how bad it was getting.
But, I mean, what are you thinking?
You're thinking, I've got to prove to somebody that I like this woman.
Look how heterosexual and in love I am.
Yeah.
But really, after 30 seconds, I mean, that's... For a wedding, that's pretty long at 30 seconds. 3 minutes is absurd.
Then when he invited everyone back to the room for the honeymoon, for the wedding night, and said, watch me have sex with her, I thought that was out of line.
He did?
Yeah.
Wow. Way too much.
You're right.
What the hell's going on?
I'm sorry about that.
You dropped your microwave?
My bad.
Today's celebrity
birthday. No, but hurry up so I can get to my Chinese food.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
God, I hate you.
You're a homo.
All right.
This camp. Be over quick enough.
I know. Let's wrap this up.
I mean, this whole chapter in my life, this whole experience cannot end
this
soon
report.
Enough.
Oh, Ralph, you're going to look back at these as the good old days.
I'm going to laugh like someone relocated my shoulder when I don't have to talk to Bean anymore. Happy birthday to Max Baer Jr., played Jethro Bodine on the Beverly Hillbillies. He's 69 years old today. He's been trying for like 10 years to get the Beverly Hillbillies casino up and running.
Yes.
Every once in a while, we'll see a story where he wants to have. Granny's Vittle restaurant or something.
That's right. That's the worst idea ever.
It's the worst idea ever. Marissa Tomei, Oscar-winning actress, turns 42 years old today. Jeff Bridges, one of my all-time favorites. He is 57 years old today. Jay-Z, the rapper, turns 37. And Tyra Banks celebrates her 33rd birthday.
Tyra sucks.
We should take Tyra and stuff her inside a Bean's microwave. And then hit reheat, and then the whole problem will just go away. Be perfect.
All right, Tyra, well, we miss you.
I miss you, too.
I love you, baby.
I love you, too.
I'll talk to you again soon.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
I love her so.
What do you got over there, Kevin? Anything you want to do before I say goodbye?
I can't.
Give me a little window here, a little time.
I can't find it. I'm not sure where it is.
Hello, B.
Baby.
I miss you, precious.
I miss you, too.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Speaking of websites, why is everybody so excited about MyHeritage.com all of a sudden?
Because it's the biggest fun thing ever to do ever.
It's one of those places that it specializes in like your genealogy, your family tree or whatever. But they do have one feature on it. And it's called face recognition. And you send in a picture and then they'll tell you what celebrity you look like.
They break down your face, and I don't know how many different points they use in terms of bone structure and hair color and eye color and shape of your face. And they take all this and they make it into a database, and then they compare you with celebrities, and then they tell you what person you match the most with in terms of percentage. Like, your face is 70% the same as Celebrity X.
Right. Is this a service for people who are living in a house with no mirrors? They don't know what they look like, so they're looking for a hint? Hey, what celebrity do I look like?
Well, we weren't interested in this until Psycho Mike did it, probably 15 times, because you know Psycho Mike.
Oh, sure.
And his number one match, can I say that, Ralph? Or
yeah,
is that really
no, because we ran a different picture with him. We got a different result.
His number one match was Allen Iverson of the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah,
that's so now we're in.
A black basketball player. So we were like, yes!
It's uncanny how good this service was.
The top four of my five that it compared me to that time were all black guys, and it was just ridiculous. They're all black guys with cornrows.
Yeah. Wow.
But here's the thing. You submitted a picture of yourself with a deep, deep, deep tan, though, right?
Yeah, it was like, around red, white, and huge, so I was probably really tan. But I don't
So it does factor that in. It
but
compares
face
the,
structure is
but it
the
compares,
main interesting.
Skin tone and everything. Use the entire spectrum to try to compare to see who you come closest to.
Allen Iverson.
You are the answer, though, Mike. That's what we call you around here.
Allen Iverson's mom, it rules, by the way. She's the best. Have you seen her?
No.
Oh, she hits people. She yells at people.
She's tatted
awesome.
Up, too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She's got it all.
So we in the office in the other room, we took photos of everybody from the Kevin and Bean Morning
Uh-oh.
Show and entered them into the computer, digitized them, and allowed this face recognition program to seek through its database and come up with who it found we were the closest matches to in terms of celebrities.
This can't be good for any of us.
Really. Well, actually, some of them turned out pretty well.
Okay.
Right. Actually, too well. When you think about it. I will say, though, before we get started, that Bean, they give you the top five matches.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, the first one would be, like, 77%. The next one would be maybe 64%.
Okay.
On out. So the fifth match that you get probably looks the least like you, but you still have some common features.
Right.
Okay. Bean was the only one. All five of them were all dead. He's the only one who matched all dead people.
And the matches with the way they look today. That's
exactly.
The sad part.
That was the funny part. So let's start with Kevin. We put Kevin's face into the computer.
How did it fit?
Hey, seriously though.
Hey.
You're all weak. Try the veal.
We should have a little computer sound effect with, you know, a little ding that comes out the other end.
Bean, you have the Pac-Man fever, don't you? Let's use that.
Let's see if I got that.
So
I
rock computers.
We entered Kevin's picture into the computer and pushed start.
And okay, when we did that, it made a sound.
And then
I don't have that.
We ran a program, right. And it came up with
76%
commonality between Kevin and Rick Schroeder.
I could totally see that.
I can too.
I think it's pretty
really?
Close.
I've never thought of it, but yeah.
Rick Schroeder, of course, from NYPD Blue when he was young. Ricky Schroeder from Silver Spoons. But, yeah. But especially the hair,
similar hair,
the hairstyle, hair color. You know, in terms of your eye color, your face
but
tone.
But isn't he pretty good looking?
He's a pretty good looking guy. Yeah,
well, that didn't work. Seriously.
Yeah. No, but I can see that 76% you'd have in common.
Yeah.
Then we put in Bean's face into the computer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was Daddy
easy.
McDead?
of the five dead people that came back to us, the computer said that Bean shared 77% commonality with Christopher Reeve.
Oh,
Superman.
No. Really?
Superman.
Christopher Reed? After or before the accident?
After he was in the wheelchair. Yeah, after he...
Because he lost all that weight and his face got kind of
after
bony.
He was immobile.
Yeah.
Well, and never moved a muscle. He had a lot in common with Bean.
Mm-hmm.
After his entire body atrophied, he and I were practically twins.
Yes.
That makes a lot of sense.
Then Lisa, we put Lisa in the computer.
Yes.
77% commonality with actress Holly Hunter.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Interesting.
I think a lot goes with hair color here, it seems like.
Yeah.
Holly's also a redhead.
Too much, by the way. That's not a big factor.
Super Horror Alex, assistant producer Alex, we put her in the computer. 78% commonality with Kate Hudson.
I can totally see that.
Really?
Totally see Kate Hudson. In the face? Yeah, absolutely.
With long blonde
this is
hair.
Yeah. MyHeritage.com. We're talking about their face recognition software.
Right.
They let you know which celebrity you look like.
There's a lot
that
of
one's
hair.
Shaky.
It gets even odder. Omar was entered into the program.
Yeah.
74% match.
Osama bin Laden?
No. You won't believe this. Jared Leto.
What?
What? Are you kidding me?
I kid you not.
Mike is in love.
What?
Well, the number one match.
Pretty dreamy.
74% matchup between Omar and Jared Leto.
He's
wait a minute.
Was he a tasty biscuit before the rap on Friday or after?
No, he's always
been. That didn't ruin it for him?
Wow.
Guys, I got an email from somebody who went to either high school or college with Omar and said that his nickname at that school was Hot Ass.
Yeah.
Hot ass.
But Jared Leto?
Doesn't surprise me.
If Jared Leto went on an eating binge for 2 years, maybe.
It's funny what they use to compare, because we sent in a picture of Omar where he had his BS soul patch, you know, right, that he has under his lip here. And Jared Leto has one, too. And so the photos come up side by side. I'm like, oh, they're just going by the soul patch. That's the only thing they're
doesn't
using to
sound
connect
like they
people.
Have very much info.
So that was Omar's match. Mine was not surprising to anyone.
It has to be that guy from The Soup.
73. No, this is celebrities they compare you to. 73%. Mel Gibson. I think because we sent in a photo of my liver.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, we sent a photo of my liver. That's why I compared 73 with
Mel Gibson.
Plus, you think Jews are responsible for all the wars?
Sure, all the hate, all the hate that I feel towards the Jews. You know, so, that comparison. So, me and Gibby.
That's funny.
Doc. We sent Doc. We sent Doc in.
Yeah.
His photo.
Did it crash the site?
No, it did not crash the site. Mm. He might come back. Might be a surprise.
Yeah,
sure,
I guess.
You guess.
There's only one possible name. Otherwise, MyHeritage.com is bogus. It has to be Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber.
No.
Oh, that's pretty good, though.
71% commonality with Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman?
Yes.
But Gary Oldman at the very end of his life, though, right?
Are you kidding?
How he'll look in 20 years.
No. Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman?
Maybe as Dracula, though.
Yeah, well,
maybe that's what came back. I'm not sure.
That's the long fangs.
Mike, Psycho Mike. We entered him into the computer. We used a different photo than the Allen Iverson kickback photo.
Okay.
We used one with his skin tone a little bit more, you know, Caucasian.
Right.
Mm-hmm. James Vanderbeek came back.
TV's Dawson.
TV's Dawson. 71%. 71% match with James Vanderbeek.
James Vanderbeek.
That's the
fantastic. Mike does have sort of a cereal box head, too. You know, like Vanderbeek. He's spitting up in the back of the room now. He's actually, stuff is leaking out of him.
Omar gets to be Jared Leto, who's Mike's man crush. Yeah. Mike gets to be Dawson.
Yes, Mike's it's James impossible. Vanderbeek.
Yeah, that's it.
Wow.
It's a fraud.
Our producer, Lightning. Wrong man. We put him into the computer.
Yes.
You're not going to believe this one.
Lightning. Wrong man.
Lightning.
Any guesses
like?
Before I give you the results from the computer?
No.
Tom Arnold.
Nope.
Turtle from Entourage.
No.
Ooh, good one, Mike.
71% commonality with celebrity Benicio Del Toro.
Oh, come on.
What?
They have a lot in common.
Are you kidding me?
This is...
Hey, you like me now?
This is scientific.
It is. Please.
It is a science fact.
Not science.
That
science.
Lightning and Benicio Del Toro have 71% of their facial features in common.
That is bizarre.
Wrong. Try again, dumbass.
Absolutely true.
Wow.
It is a scientific fact.
No, I cannot receive that. That's not right. That's all
wrong. You're just
right.
Maybe less than right.
Right.
And lastly, Dave the King of Mexico. We entered him into the computer.
Yes.
We got a 73% match.
Carlos Mencia. It has to be.
For Dave the King of Mexico.
It does. No, you're right, yeah.
Not Carlos Mencia. It was not the answer. Although you would expect that. 73% match with dictator Pol Pot.
No
yes.
kidding.
Imagine our surprise when a photo of Pol Pot showed up next to Dave.
Pol Pot!
They were
awesome.
73% matches. Pol Pot.
We might have to change his nickname.
Hey, could have been worse. Could have been Edie, I mean.
I don't know how it could have been worse, but all right.
Bruins take over. They were able, rather, to hold off SC 13-9, a stunning win after scoring 20 or more points in 63 straight games. The Trojans can only put up 9. Here's what Pete Carroll had to say after the game to our Lisa Salters.
Yeah, that's that was something. That game
Carroll
was
had
something.
To say, F you.
No,
by the way,
he was pretty cool about it, actually.
Was he?
Yeah.
He certainly has nothing to be ashamed of. He's had an unbelievable run there at USC. And it's funny because, you know, there was a time where, hey, we made the Rose Bowl. That would be good news, right? We're playing in the Rose Bowl game. Nothing but a disappointment for Trojans fans this year, though, as they're not playing for the national title for the first time in, you know, 3 years in a row. They've been out there playing for the national title. You know, with a game like this that's expected to be so lopsided, and I remember when we had our friend the P on, Petros Papadakis, on Friday, it was a foregone conclusion in his mind and in a lot of people who watch college football's mind that the Trojans were going to destroy UCLA just like they destroyed Notre Dame the week before.
Well, UCLA's not even ranked. USC is second. Was second, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's one of the biggest upsets in college football ever. And if you're one of those people out there who were true, you know, Bruins fans and bet with your heart instead of your head, Man, are you laughing all the way to the bank this morning.
No kidding. People must have lost a lot of money betting. I don't know if you saw this story about the store, the furniture store. It was a promotion for a furniture store called HD Buttercup. And the CFO, the chief financial officer, is a USC guy. And the owner is a UCLA guy, still lives in Brentwood. And he got so tired of hearing his CFO talk about USC, 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 that he did this promotion where if you buy furniture from him leading up to the game and UCLA wins, he'll refund all of your money.
Oh, yes. Wow.
So UCLA won, and all of those people who bought furniture get it for free now. They get their money back.
You had to buy $2,000 worth of furniture at least to apply, you know, to be eligible for the refund. And you had to have bought it by the kickoff on 1:30 Saturday, by the kickoff of the game. And I don't know. We haven't heard the update yet on how much money the business lost as a result of it. How many people said, hey, we're thinking of buying a bedroom set anyway. Let's go ahead and buy it there.
Yep.
Which, of course, is, you know, the intention. That's why you do something like this. But there was a story earlier this year about a furniture store in Green Bay, somewhere in Green Bay, who did a similar promotion with the Bears versus the Packers.
Right.
I think his deal was if the Bears shut out the Packers, all your furniture is free. And it ended up costing him over $300,000.
Oh my
26
gosh.
To nothing was the score. The Packers got shut out that night.
Wow. That's awesome.
So after seeing that happen, I'm a little bit surprised that HD Buttercup would say, ooh, let's do that wacky furniture football promotion.
Isn't that great? Well, there was no chance UCLA was going to win. I mean, outside of UCLA, I'm sure they believed it, but nobody else did at all. It was an amazing game by UCLA. And we thought, you know, people bet any number of things. I mean, people bet cash, of course, which they're not supposed to do, and we highly recommend against that.
Well, that would be wrong and illegal. And
right.
Kevin, don't you have a $20 bill in your pocket from some sort of sports wager over the weekend?
How dare you suggest I would bet money. Yes, 20. So anyway, you know, but people bet non-monetary items, too, and those are the fun ones. That, like, I mean, for example, I know this furniture store was about refunding the money, but it's also about getting your furniture for free. And anybody that did the embarrassing bet that you lost, you know, where you have to run through the street naked or whatever, if they lose, that kind of thing.
Yes.
That's what we want to see. We need some calls now, 1-800-520-1067, because this is the best kind of bet, where it's a long, long, long shot, and then they come through, and the few people that were betting on UCLA score huge, and all the people that bet on USC lost. They were supposed to win by 14 points, USC.
Yeah, that was the line, yeah. All I know is all of those years in a row that we broadcast from both schools, and I, Bean, was at USC, all of them, USC won. All I know is the Trojans won every single one of those. All I know is we didn't broadcast this year, and the Trojans somehow lost to the Bruins. That's all I'm saying. You can draw your own conclusions.
Okay, we will. You didn't have anything to do with it. 1-800-520-1067. If you lost a lot, you won a lot, you won bizarre, embarrassing, whatever. You lost embarrassing bets, give us a call, and we'll talk to you next on the World Famous K-Rock.
We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You were either lucky or very, very sad to be on whatever side of the bet you chose for USC-UCLA this weekend. Who could have predicted this? As you mentioned, Kevin, a 14-point spread. And UCLA ended up winning it outright. So I know there are some people who had to pay off some very, very bad and sad bets over the weekend.
Yes, they did. Let's start with Anna in Cyprus. Good morning, Anna. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi.
So what was the bet?
Well, we bet that our firstborn child would root for whichever team won.
Your firstborn child would root for it?
Yes, I went to UCLA and my husband went to USC.
Oh, okay. I see.
So now
it's going to be a lifelong rivalry, so the kid has to be on one side or the other.
Exactly.
And you get to decide which side.
Well,
whoever wins.
UCLA.
Yeah.
No, I know. I understand that. But I'm saying, what if the kid has a preference?
Oh.
You know? I mean,
kid's going to do what they tell him,
right.
Kevin.
Okay. That's funny. I wonder how many people are married that way, where one of them went to USC, one of them went to UCLA.
Got to be. Yeah, and it's a very frosty week leading up to the big game some years.
Let's go to Rick in Torrance. Good morning, Rick. Thank you for calling. Uncle lost in little sister's cheerleader outfit for family reunion.
Nice.
That's strong, right? Tyler in Chatsworth. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, hi,
thanks.
Tyler.
What was the bet?
I had a bet that if USC lost, I'd have to tattoo Bruins number one on my left arm.
Jeez, Tyler.
And sure enough, my buddies took me yesterday morning and got it tattooed on my arm.
And you're a USC guy.
Yes, sir. I was born and raised. My family's USC number one.
Did you go to USC or just in the family?
I actually go to Moore Park College. Okay. My family went to USC.
Well, you can't go to USC now.
Yeah, no kidding.
Bruins
number one.
Your arm.
You'll get beaten up.
Dude, why make a... I mean, even if you're sure they're going to win, which you obviously were, they have won the last eight, but why risk a tattoo? That seems too...
Because my buddy said if UCLA won, he would get USC number one on his arm.
You mean if USC won, right?
Yeah, and I was so sure they were going to win. I was like, you know what? Yeah, I'll take that bet because they're going to take him down.
There are a lot of people that just were like, oh, yeah, whatever the bad thing is, I don't care because it's not going to go that way.
Foregone conclusion, right?
So then,
you know, what you should have done, Tyler, thank you for the call. You should have bet with Psycho Mike because that way you never would have had to pay off because that's how
that's
Mike
true,
works.
That's true, yeah. Andrew in Manhattan, good morning. Manhattan Beach. Hi.
Good morning.
What did you bet on the big USC-UCLA game?
Actually, the funny thing was a fantasy football bet, but I ended up having to pay it off yesterday. I had to wear a skirt and a bra. I'm a Bruins fan, so it killed me because everyone was coming to, I was at Manhattan Beach Sharkies, and everyone was going, oh, let me guess, SC fan. I was like, no, fantasy football was in a skirt and a bra yesterday.
Skirt and a bra, nice.
I bet you look good. Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you. Let's go to Kelly, because Kelly really has the best bet ever. Kelly from Costa Mesa.
Good morning.
So how long have you been married, first of all?
Oh, we're not married.
Married. Okay. Because it says husband up here. That's why I was saying that. But boyfriend. Okay. How long have you been together with your boyfriend?
About 2 years.
And has he been asking for this prize the whole time?
Well, no. Actually, what it is he loves to do it to me.
Right.
And I hate it.
Right.
But I give it up every now and then just to make him happy. And I always told him, one of these days, I'm going to find a way to get this returned to you.
Because?
No wonder your behind is bleeding.
Yeah, that's not what you want happening in the bed.
Oh, my God.
So you bet anal sex with your man.
I did.
And how did that go for you?
It worked out very well. The UCLA, I was very proud of them. They actually pulled it out for me, and I was able to put it into him.
It ain't natural.
Oh, my God. Oh,
so how did your husband feel about being on the receiving end of that for the first time?
Oh, he cried like a little girl.
Your butt ain't made for that.
That's awesome. That's the best bet ever.
You go, girl.
Thank you, Kelly.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Good cluster, by the way, this year, folks.
I think so, too.
Good.
Yeah.
Good
That's
gaggle.
True.
Good gaggle.
Are they gaggles?
They're a gaggle.
Okay.
Gaggle and Miss Double D December contestants. Good stuff. Sad news over the weekend. Prison Break star Lane Garrison's SUV struck a tree Saturday night.
Well, he's running from those guys all the time, you know? Right on his tail.
Killing a 17-year-old boy.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, dude. God.
Yeah,
you
I was,
know that part.
I was saving that.
Sorry.
Which
pulling
one is he?
Back
who's,
on the comedy.
Who's he on the show?
He's a Skeeter.
I don't think there's a Skeeter.
I don't think there's a Skeeter. There's a Skeeter.
Is
I think
there?
It's him. Yeah. Two 15-year-old girls were also in the SUV. Nobody really knows many details about this crash. It's him, a 17-year-old boy, two 15-year-old girls who were injured as well. And they're not quite sure who was driving, the boy or the 26-year-old Garrison. So, still investigating what happened there this week. And however, this is not Garrison's first accident. TMZ.com, of course, our entertainment news website of record, has a video in there showing Garrison leaving the Hyde nightclub on October 20th. Looking a little worse for wear, in my personal opinion. And his Land Rover strikes an Infiniti right in front of him. He guns it and smashes into an Infiniti that's in front of him. The driver of the Infiniti begins shouting, "Hey, stop the car, you hit my car." Garrison sees the video camera, hides his head, pulls his jacket over his face, and continues to drive.
Excellent.
So again, they're not sure what condition he was in when this crash happened on Saturday night, but it's tragic that the 17-year-old boy lost his life when he got to the hospital.
Dave says it's the Wigga on the show. He was killed off this past season.
He was?
Yeah.
What was
Tweener.
His name?
Tweener.
Tweener.
Ha! How do you like me now?
You said Skeener.
No, I said Skeeter.
Skeeter, yeah.
Tweener and Tweener, pretty goddamn close. That's all I got to say. Britney Spears likes showing off her naked ass and cha-cha.
Yes, she does.
Well, this weekend, she was partying at a place called Mr. Chow in Beverly Hills, and her, no pun intended, she was sitting at a table that was right next to a giant glass window. She was in the VIP section behind a giant glass window.
Okay.
So before she even sat down, she saw the paparazzi on the other side of the window, and she started to shake her ass and then bent over to give the crowd a view of the fact that she was wearing a very short dress and no panties.
Oh my God.
No. What?
She returned to the window several times during the party, dancing, waving, and making every effort to guarantee the crowd noticed her ass. Again, TMZ.com has the video if you want to check it out. Under Britney Gets Cheeky. You can check her out pressing her ass up against the window as people take pictures.
Does TMZ,
I'm hot.
Does TMZ.com have video of all of us every moment of our lives?
They are like Big Brother.
Yes.
They are always everywhere.
They're watching us through our TVs, aren't they?
They have a giant brother eye satellite in the sky that they can get all of us doing anything they want at any time. Harvey Levin rules the world now.
He does, doesn't he?
He does seem
like if ever there's a police investigation about what happened, we should be able to go to Harvey and find out, see the video of OJ killing those people, allegedly. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he should have footage on everything.
He does. It's like the Truman Show. He's just sitting in a big room pushing buttons.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did Keith Urban cheat on Nicole Kidman?
Yes.
This guy keeps getting better and better. He is Husband of the Year. According to Lifestyle Magazine, the singer who is in rehab for alcohol currently was seen kissing and making out with a model named Amanda Wyatt on October 6th in a Nashville bar. October 6th, let me see. That would be, yes, during their marriage, absolutely.
Yes, it would be.
Reportedly, he met this model in 2004 and has connected with her several times, even after he got married to Nicole. So, there may be more to his rehab than we know. Nicole may know more about his uncontrolled drinking than we
know. Keith Urban had this to say.
I need to drop down and get my thing together.
Get my thing together. I got the weekend's hot movies at the box office this weekend. Happy Feet, still number one. 3 weeks in a row, made $17 million this weekend. Casino Royale, still number two. 3 weeks in a row, made $15.1 additional million dollars. Good enough to make it number two. Deja Vu, The Nativity Story, Deck the Halls, The Santa Claus 3, Borat, Turistas, Stranger Than Fiction, and National Lampoon's Van Wilder 2, The Rise of Taj. Rounds out your top 10 at the box office.
Psycho Mike, we were right when we steered you toward Borat. You're glad you finally went to see it this weekend?
No, definitely.
He didn't see it.
Yeah. I can't even get angry. I can't even muster the energy to get angry because what would it take to get somebody to see a movie? How much more pressure would we have to put on someone? How many more good things would we have to say about that particular film before someone went?
Loser! You're a loser! Are you feeling sorry for yourself? Well, you should be, because you are dirt! You make me sick, you big baby!
Now he's just refusing to go. Now I think he's just stonewalling us.
He's just thumbing his nose at us, in our opinion, because clearly he doesn't care what we think.
Right. Nobody's that busy that they can't go see a 90-minute movie.
In a month.
Nobody.
I agree.
Well, then go see it!
I'll get on that.
It's not like we're trying to talk him into doing something that he won't love, by the way. That's what's remarkable to me about it, is we're saying this movie is so you. You would love it, and he won't go see it.
You know, my take. What? I think he loves the attention, even if it's negative. So he knows if he doesn't go to see it, we'll keep talking about it every Monday, and he'll get more airtime. He'll say, Mike, did you go see Borat? No, I didn't go see it yet. Oh, you should go. Yeah, I guess you're right. And still, somehow, even if it's a negative light, the spotlight is shining on him.
It's a plan of his.
That's all that matters.
I got you.
That's all that matters.
You're giving me way too much credit.
Yeah, that's true.
I give your neuroses all credit because they drive you.
I'm a lazy pile that is scared to leave my apartment because there's people outside, and I don't. That's the problem.
Okay. Do you wish you just had peanut butter, someone to talk to about
all the
peanut butter with?
Like peanut butter.
Loser!
Today's celebrity birthdays, Jeff Bridges, one of the just best actors on the planet Earth. God, I love Jeff Bridges.
Easy, dude.
Love him so much.
I think you scared him when he came in, by the way.
No, he loved me. We bonded and we had a commonality and we shook hands and there was a magic.
You were licking his feet, if I remember correctly, though.
Actually, licking is washing. It's different. He's 57 years old today. Marissa Tomei, Oscar-winning actress, is 42. Yeah, a lot of people mock her. Say, oh, she won an Oscar for that My Cousin Vinny movie.
Right. Know?
But if you watch that movie, she's freaking brilliant in it.
She's
so funny in that film.
She's great in it, and she got nominated again for In the Bedroom, and she was unbelievable in that. I think that was the performance of her career.
She's enormously talented. She's 42 years old today. Jay-Z, the rapper, is 37, and Tyra Banks.
Oh.
Model and whore is 33 years old today.
Taking in these visions is no doubt a dream come true for many, but what images dance in Tyra's head while she's snuggled in bed?
I had this one dream where, like, it's okay to, like, run around naked.
With my boyfriend, Bean.
And I'm not, like, this exhibitionist or anything, but
I just love being naked with my boyfriend, Bean.
That'd be kind of cool.
Tyra Banks really blows. Yeah. Tyra Banks really blows.
Hey.
Blows.
With my boyfriend, Bean.
I can't even try to pretend to make it sound feminine.
Tyra Banks.
Bean, Bean, Bean. Hi, Bean. Hi, Precious. Where are you? I miss you.
I miss Bean. I love Bean so much. And I like Kevin, too. But I love Bean because Bean loves me.
That was our chance. That was the moment. We should have just taken a road flare and just stuffed it.
Tyra Banks really blows. Tyra Banks really blows. Blows.
I'm Ralph Garman. Some love on Tyra's birthday, you guys. Come on.
Tyra Banks really blows. Tyra Banks really blows. Blows.
I'm Ralph Garman to walk the showbiz.
First, are you on the younger side and looking for somebody who can pay off your school loans?
Yes.
Or associate producer Alex.
Hi, right here.
This would be the site for you.
Mama always said it was just as easy to fall in love with a rich man as a poor man. But I never knew Mama was right until I joined SugarDaddyForMe.com.
You don't have to be rich to spoil and pamper a woman. The sexy women on SugarDaddyForMe.com really appreciate a man who treats them like a queen.
Yeah, that's not true, first of all. First of all, that's false.
I think it's interesting that Alex, Super Whore, is the one who brought this site to our attention. What exactly were you looking for online last week when you came across SugarDaddyForMe.com, Alex?
Well, wouldn't you know, one of my hoary friends forwarded to me.
Excellent. Because they know you're that type. Perfect for you. All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's find out some more about it because we have the founder of SugarDaddyForMe.com on the line. Please welcome Gautam Sharma to the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Gautam. Welcome.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. Thank you.
Well, we're doing great. And I tell you, you know your audience, man, because Alex is exactly the kind of person that it seems like would work out on your site. She's young and attractive and deeply in debt.
Well, welcome, Alex.
Now, Gautam, I was watching, is that video on your site, is that you driving around talking about how you spoil women?
No, that wasn't me.
Wasn't you, okay. But the guy on there was saying, oh yeah, you know, sometimes I'll spend a couple $1,000s on a date, sometimes I'll spend up to $40,000 on a date. Like one night, I just took this girl over to a car dealership and bought her a car.
Oh, you're talking about the Montel video, that was me.
That was you, okay, that was him talking about how
really?
He does that. So it's a little hard for me to believe when you play that commercial where it says, you don't have to have money, women just appreciate being treated nicely.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, there's different kinds of audiences. There's different kind of members, you know. Yeah, it's good to have money, but the whole concept about SugarDaddyForMe.com is that, you know, the guys who know how to treat a woman, and if it means, you know, you have the means to treat a woman well and buy her stuff, great. But the very concept is about knowing how to treat a woman right.
No. No, it isn't really. It's just about spending a lot of money.
Yeah, Sugar Daddy really does have more to do with money, I think.
That's what the sugar is, right?
Yeah. That's the sugar part of it.
I mean, you probably have spent a lot of time. I mean, you and your staff have talked to a lot of the women who sign up for the site. I mean, in general, how much are they looking for? What are they looking to get out of Sugar Daddy for me?
Well, listen, like I said, you know, there's different kinds of women. There's a lot of women who just set up of being on the big sites like Match.com and going out with guys who can't pay for dinner. And then there's other girls, you know, other women who don't mind having their bills paid. There's all kinds of girls there.
Are there, and this is one of the other things that I thought about that may be different about your site than maybe some of the others, are there women who go on your site or men who go on your site who are just looking for something extramaritally, and that's why a site like yours makes more sense than somebody who's really, you know, on a matchmaking site looking for a real relationship?
That is correct. I mean, and like, basically the men on our site, you know, there's nothing to hide, there's nothing to lie. You know, our catchphrase is cut to the chase, right? And we just go back to, you know, the basics, which is, you know, it's in our genes. You know, men traditionally, you know, want to take care of women, and women want to be pampered and supported, and we cater to that audience.
Well, do you somehow screen these guys to see if they actually have any money or know how to treat a woman?
Look, we have very stringent policies and procedures in place. I mean, we can't keep everyone out, you know, occasionally a scammer or two will pop into the site, but by and large, you know, we have a very, very comprehensive rating and reporting system, and we take this pretty seriously. If we find we're getting too many complaints about a single member, you know, we throw them out.
But
we have a dedicated staff who just, you know, their job is to do this.
How long have you had SugarDaddyForMe.com up on the internet, Gautam?
A little over 2 years.
And how's it been working out for you? Is it successful beyond your wildest dreams?
Oh, yeah. Really, we have close to 700,000 members now.
Is this just a site for you to meet chicks, Gautam?
700,000 members.
I'm complaining, but you know, it just took off, and we really didn't do any marketing. It was, you know, it kind of spread itself word of mouth, and you know, today we have, like I said, over 700,000 members.
What's the breakdown, if you don't mind? I know a lot of times people don't want to give out this kind of information. What's the breakdown on men to women, if you know roughly?
We have around 60% women and around 40% men.
No kidding.
No,
so there are a lot of ladies out there, you're saying, looking for sugar daddies. That seems more unlikely than the other way around, guys that are just looking for some trim.
Yeah, like we say, you know, we're a no-nonsense site. You know, we cater to people who've had enough of the games. You know, they're not into the games anymore. They're serious. They're working hard, you know, and they know what they want.
All right. Our associate producer, Alex, is here. You met her earlier, Gotham. We're going to have her sign up for your site. Well, first of all, is there any charge to sign up for the ladies?
No, there isn't. It's completely free.
Okay. Cool. We're going to have her sign up. And as I said, she's an attractive, blonde, you know, 20-something Los Angeles girl who happens to have a lot of student loans that she's trying to pay off.
All right.
How will it work once she puts in her profile? Will she start getting emails from people, or what will work? What will happen?
All I can say is that be prepared, because typically, when you create a profile, within the hour, I won't be surprised if she's contacted by at least 25, 30 people locally.
Within 1 hour?
Within the hour.
Wow.
Gotham, I don't know you personally, but I doubt everything you say. It just all sounds false.
You know what?
Why? Does it sound too good to be true?
I don't believe 30 guys in the first hour.
Kevin, why don't you sign up to be a sugar daddy?
I'm already on there, and I'm not getting any response whatsoever.
Well, Alex's nickname is Super Whore. How do you think that's going to help in terms of contacts from guys?
Hey, you know what? Whatever, you know, rocks the boat. I mean, I'm sure, like I said, you know, let her sign up, and let's verify what I said.
Okay. All right. We're going to give that a try.
We can check it.
This is one of those sites that you hear about and you go, well, of course, it makes so much sense. It's so logical. This has to exist. But it's sugardaddyforme.com. And I guess there's also a phone number. How does this work if people want to instead call 877-87-DADDY? They could actually register on the phone as well?
Well, no, they don't. But if they have any questions, you know, for the sign-up process or to sign up, they have any problems, they have any questions, they call a customer service department.
All right, Gotham, we'll see how it goes with Super Whore. Gotham Sharma, the founder of SugarDaddyForMe.com, thanks for coming on KROQ this morning.
Thank you for having me.
All right, bye now.
Bye-bye.
Gotham.
Come on.
So, like, 25 well-off, eligible guys are going to...
And, like, 300 women are all emailing
who
them.
Who really know how to treat a woman.
Right. That's what's going to happen.
I believe it's time for Alex to start going on some dates, guys.
All right, we'll do.
Let's make that happen.
Here she comes. She's our Miss Double December.
Nice melons.
She's an angel, and just look at those cans.
What knocker?
She's got big guns, baby. She's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my penis is hard.
All right, we are talking to Miss Double December contestants all this week, two a day, and then you can go to krock.com, go to the Kevin and Bean page, and vote for who you think should be this coming year's Miss Double December, and we have Keechee on the phone. Good morning, Keechee.
Hi. Good morning, everyone.
How are you?
Hi,
Keechee. Thank
you.
Good. Thank you for joining us. As Kevin mentioned, you can go to krock.com, go to the Kevin and Bean section. You can see the pictures of all 10 girls. Earlier today, we talked to Christine, I want to say, and now we've got Keechee on the line. It looks like there's something going up your butt in this picture. What's this swimsuit you're wearing?
That is actually made completely out of paint.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
no kidding.
I think that's why Lightning decided not to give us the frontal picture that you sent, because I don't think he thinks we can, because it's
oh,
just
too much nipple. I see what you're saying. Wow, what's with you wearing all the painted bikinis, Keechee?
Well, I work at the Playboy Mansion, and I'm one of the painted ladies there.
No kidding. Were you at the Playboy Mansion when we were there for the Kevin and Bean singles party over the summer?
You know, I wanted to go, but I wasn't able to make it.
Okay. Wow, that's a...
Pay me there, but... It didn't work out.
Yeah. That is a fantastic job. All right, we got a couple of basic questions we have to ask you, Keechee. Why are you interested in representing the Kevin and Bean Show as Miss Double December 2007?
I hear there's a little bit of making out that goes on with Lisa May.
Yes,
there's a little bit of that.
That is true. For example, there is some making out that's done, like when we transfer the crown.
With the former Miss Double December.
Last year's Miss Double December actually has the crown in her spit, and so she has to transfer it that way.
Well, if you remember last year, I was here trying out up against a very, very beautiful Miss Yasmin. So
that's right.
I'm back again, and hopefully I get to take the crown from her.
You also said, what celebrity would you want to be stranded on an island with? Christy, Miss Double December 2005.
Yes, I would.
The year
I
before that.
I've been trying to meet up with Christy for the last year, and we just live too far away from each other, and I'm starting to feel like I have to be stranded on a desert island to meet up with that girl.
Yeah. Well, you know, from what I understand, meet up with Miss Double December, it's worth it, too. So you should definitely keep trying.
Yes, I know.
And awesome. The other question that you answered in an interesting way, I thought, is if you could have one superpower, what would it be and why? You say you wish you had the power to shapeshift.
I did. Wouldn't that be fun?
That's kind of cool.
Because it says, how sweet would it be to be completely change your look depending on your mood? Big boobs today, bigger boobs tomorrow. I like that big boobs and bigger boobs are the only two options. That's good. There's no small boobs in there.
No.
That's what's great about having superpowers, by the way, is you use them for something really worthwhile, making your cans even bigger. Speaking of your boobs, of course, you know, it is Miss Double December, so we do have to know the breast that we may be committing ourselves to for the next 12 months. What's the history of yours? How long have you had them, Keechee?
Well, I started developing very late. I think every year in high school I got a size bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then,
wait, you're telling me yours are natural?
No.
All right. So she the whole developing in high school thing doesn't really make much difference. When did you get these?
When I stopped, when I hit C,
right.
I got the D's.
Okay.
School, so.
All right. We do have to ask. We ask everybody this. I promise. How old is the photo?
That photo was taken at the Midsummer Night Dream Party in August.
Okay, so it wasn't like 10 years ago.
Oh,
okay, good.
No, okay, fantastic.
Just checking, because you never know, you know.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you have met the lovely Keechee. She is contestant number 2 of our 10 finalists. And by the way, congratulations out of the many, 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 many entries we got this year for Miss Double December 2007. You have already made it to the final 10 again this year. So congratulations, Keechee. We're happy to have you on the list. And the K-Rock audience now, we turn it over to them. They go to the Kevin and Bean section of K-Rock.com and they cast their vote. And what's the plan, Kevin? Are we announcing our winner at the end of the show Friday? Is that what we're doing?
I believe so, yeah. Yeah.
And then, of course, the winner we'll hang out with and we'll be coming to both nights of K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006 this weekend. So, Keechee, that's something you have to look forward to if you win.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Bye-bye, guys.
Go to krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page, and you can vote for your favorite.
Right now, the Kevin and Bean Afro line is on the air, 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. It's an answering machine set up for your convenience.
Guy has to have dreams, man. You got to have some kind of dream, and that guy's is to pogo high. Here's the first Afro call.
Hollywood, you want to hear another song? That's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Talking about the K-Fed show last Wednesday night. And how he was asking them if they wanted to hear another song. And of course, they all said no. We were talking.
This is what's great, though, is he makes you wait 2 hours before he comes on stage. Then he does less than a half an hour. And then when he asks if you want another song, you still say no.
Everybody
says
no.
That's awesome.
Earlier this morning, we were talking about heritage.com. And that's where you can put in a picture of yourself. And they will send you a list of the celebrities that you look like.
Yes.
And our own Omar apparently looks like Jared Leto.
Oh.
Which I thought was really odd. And you guys remember that Psycho Mike was making out with Jared Leto. At Inland Invasion, that's what this call's about.
Ooh, Jared Leto, Psycho Mike's gonna burn Omar for sure.
The wrong guy on the show has access to the bell.
Bean?
Because nobody's
dare you.
Taste is exactly like Bean's.
Every time Bean rings the bell for an ugly broad, an angel rips off its wings. You should die.
Oh.
You ring the bell for more ugly women than anybody I've ever met.
How dare you? How dare you say that? Son of a bitch.
Please make Jed get off the air. If I have to hear him do his coughing up a frog thing one more time, it's... I'm going to shoot my radio.
It's 106.7 K-Rock. Tell that bitch that I'm going to pound her in the head with a hammer after giving her a roofie. K-Rock.
Okay. From our Christmas CD, that's what this is a reference to.
Ding dong, it's a Christmas song.
Ladies and gentlemen, the return of Gunther.
That is
we have not given that enough spin.
Maybe we should play it next. That is the gayest Christmas song that has ever been recorded. So we may play that for you next. You guys can stop doing this impression now.
Hey, Lisa May, my name is Deborah, the SMS. I like you like me. I like a pussy cat. See? You like a pussy cat, Lisa May? It's sexy time.
Okay, alrighty. Officially, unless you are Sacha Baron Cohen, you're not allowed to be Borat, okay?
Seems
that's
fair.
The new rule.
And as you know, you're listening Forever Long by the Foo Fighters to know when tickets go on sale for this weekend's K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006. And this K-Rock listener, I thought, had a fantastic idea.
We just played the Foo Fighters song over the freaking intercom at work and watched all the idiots scramble to their goddamn computers. It was amazing.
That's funny.
They played the song in-house just to watch people pick up the phone and try and buy tickets. That's funny. 323-520-AFRO is the phone number, 24 hours a day.
I am after you.
No, sir. No.
Just help me when I say you will.
You are not Foo Fighters. Doesn't count if you sing it.
Sir?
It doesn't count.
Pump it up.
Tonight.
All right, that's
and
enough.
Waste away with okay. me.
Stop that anytime you want.
8:57 on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's KRQFM Pasadena, Los Angeles. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Monday morning. Ralph, what's going on?
With me.
That's good. Thanks, sir. Late entry into the Rename the Cat Pack competition.
Oh, good.
Just came over the transom.
Oh, we had some good ones.
We did. This one's pretty good, too. The Ditzy Chicks.
The Ditzy Chicks. That's funny.
Speaking of the Ditzy Chicks, tonight, the Billboard Awards are over there on Fox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paris Hilton won't be co-hosting. She was supposed to be on one of the presenters along with Britney Spears. However, right. Paris Hilton has pulled out for the first time in her life.
Now, last week you had Britney, who was supposed to be on the show, and she now isn't going to be on the show. Now you're saying Paris isn't going to be on the show either.
Right.
Okay.
She is rejecting the appearance due to the script they asked her to read.
And she can't read?
She was that. But she found the material objectionable because she had to make fun of some people that she considers friends. She found the material objectionable.
Britney Spears.
No, this is Paris Hilton.
Paris Hilton found it objectionable.
Yeah. Girl who bangs guys on video, you know? Yeah.
Right.
This is objectionable to her. And because she backed out, Britney backed out. And because Britney backed out, she backed out. Anyway, everybody's back now. So nobody knows who's going to be hosting or who's going to be on the show tonight. But
they don't know as of today?
But the... No.
That's awesome.
But the Poontang Clan will not be in attendance. So there you go.
That is a... you know, I'm the guy who generally watches the award shows for this program. The Billboard Music Awards is the worst of all of them.
It makes the AMAs look like the Oscars.
Yeah, it really does. It's horrible. This is one of those shows where they only invite the people that win, so there's no suspense. You can see who's in the audience, so you know who's going to win. And it's just the worst performances, the worst hosts, the worst writing, the worst backstage. It's just crummy.
Sometimes the worst can be funny, though. So you're going to watch it and bring in clips?
Yeah, we've never. Bean will watch.
Yeah, Bean will watch.
Bean must watch.
Okay, good. Right,
but that's
his job.
Horrible.
Yeah. Excellent. Back to you, Ralph.
The Billboards make the People's Choice Awards look like the Nobel Peace Prize or Peace Prize Awards when they give those out. It's ridiculous. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Penguins, still in control. Happy Feet, $17 million it made this weekend, making it number one at the box office. Just ahead of Casino Royale, which made a little over $15 million at number two. Then Deja Vu at three. The fourth in the lineup was The Nativity Story in its debut. Deck the Halls was number five. Then number six was The Santa Claus 3. Borat at number seven. Turistas in its debut ended up at number eight. Stranger Than Fiction was nine. And National Lampoon's Van Wilder 2, The Rise of Taj, number 10 at the box office this weekend. Sure. Sad news. George Clooney's pet pig is dead.
Oh, not again.
His 300-pound potbelly pig died Friday. How many times did the pig die?
He died before?
We've reported that he died before, and then he's come out and said, no, it's not true this time. He really is alive. But you're saying Max is finally gone, huh?
Yes. Bean knows the name of the pig, by the way.
Of course he does.
Well, he's had him forever.
Bean, are you going to send Max a card?
I may. It's tough to lose a pig, guys. I've been there. I feel for Mr. Clooney.
No, it's not. It's not
yes,
tough.
Yes, it is.
No, it really isn't. It's bacon. That's what it is. That's what it is when a pig dies.
I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Yeah.
What better pig animal to have die on you than a pig?
You can use them in a variety of ways.
Exactly.
You don't eat.
That's right.
You don't eat your pet pig.
You can make a football with the skin. You can make pork chops, bacon.
But Bean, we're saying if he's already dead.
Sausages.
Where's the waste?
Exactly.
You know?
I don't think that's how George Clooney's probably looking at it.
Waste
right now.
Not, that's, want not. That's what we're saying.
Sad. That's our message.
Think globally, act locally. That's what we're saying.
Or something like that.
Something like that. Pearl Jam did a secret show in Hawaii on Thursday. 300 people showed up for the Quicksilver Big Wave Invitational Surfing Competition, which was hosted by Kelly Slater. Turns out Kelly's good buddies with Eddie Vedder. So Eddie said, we'll stop by and surprise some folks. Knocked out a 15-song set.
That's pretty cool.
Featuring a bunch of Pearl Jam hits, along with covers of The Who's Baba O'Reilly, which is Teenage Wasteland, to those of you who don't know the title. And Neil Young's Rockin' in the Free World, the only Neil Young song I actually like.
Yeah.
So it's good times. If you're a Pearl Jam fan, you happen to be in Hawaii, they'll be opening for U2 at Honolulu's Aloha Stadium later this week. So you can check that out. R. Kelly's having a new CD.
Nice.
Entitled Making Babies. given his indiscretions with way underage females, it may not have been the best idea. But sadly, it does not look as if any further chapters of Trapped in the Closet will be on that.
Come on.
I know. Look, no one's more disappointed than I am.
People always ask me every day, you know, did this happen to me? Did this happen to me?
Mm-hmm.
No, it didn't happen to me necessarily, but it's just something that happens in reality in life.
Sure.
So I decided to take a few chapters out of life and write a story about it.
Right.
What a dork.
It always happens in life. You're having an affair with your reverend at your church, and then your wife finds you. And then it turns out the guy you're having an affair with, his wife's having an affair with a midget who's underneath the sink when you come home.
Who ate some pie? All that happens.
Who ate pie happens. It's a slice of life.
That's
what it is. And then the midget craps himself. That's my favorite part of the story, by the way.
And who is the woman he told us to think about for the next... At the end, he said, like, don't forget Mona or whatever.
What about Claire and Naomi? That's right. We have to wait and see. I have no idea what their names are, but we were promised more chapters.
I can't wait.
And he's reneging on his promise.
Yes, he is.
About R. Kelly.
Yes, he is.
Not to go all Michael Richards on him, but I am not a fan of a renigger. I do not like those who renege, my friends.
So if you're going to promise something, follow through.
Do not be a renigger. Exactly. Okay. That's what I'm saying.
All right.
And great music news to end up today's Showbiz Beats. You know Hinder? You familiar with the band Hinder?
Sure.
Big fan of Hinder? I love
Lips of an Angel.
What's that?
Lips of an Angel.
Yeah,
Lips of an Angel is their big song here.
Well, also another nickname for the Cat Pack, by the way. Hinder has announced that they are recording a cover of the Eddie Money 1986 smash hit Take Me Home Tonight. Remember that? Take me home tonight.
You're the only one that's excited about that.
I don't want to let you go to see the light.
Does it say why they're recording this?
Because it rocks.
No, but seriously.
Wait for it. And they have no intention of taking the tune on alone because they couldn't just handle it by themselves. They have asked Eddie Money himself to appear on the new version of the song.
Ralph, does it occur to you that you're the only person excited about this? You're the only single...
Be my little baby.
Just you.
Be my little baby. Take me home tonight.
Really don't need to hear
Hinder,
that song.
Hinder and Eddie Money.
Yeah.
That will be definitely uncool.
It'll be very cool. I want to thank K-Rock's Kat Corbett for that little nugget. I didn't know about that, so she gave me a little... inside info.
Yeah.
Hinder and Eddie. Nuggets, but she missed on that
Hinder
one.
Hinder and Eddie, baby. That's what I'm talking about.
That isn't good for you.
It's very good for you.
No way.
More Eddie Money.
Stop talking about Eddie Money!
I'm going to bring his new Christmas single. He just released a new Christmas single.
Bring it in.
We're going to spin it.
No,
tomorrow.
We're not.
Tomorrow we're going to spin it.
I'll give not going to happen.
I'm going to give you a little taste of the new Eddie Money Christmas song.
Not so much.
I'm spinning it tomorrow.
You
I'm
going to
give it a spin.
Not going to make it on the air.
I'm going to drop it. I'm going to spin it and drop it.
I'll drop it.
Right here on the show. I'll be spinning and dropping. I'm going to drop down and get my thing together.
Is that
I'm
right?
going to spin it.
Right.
That's what I'm going to do.
We'll see.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Jeff Bridges, one of my heroes. Him and Eddie Money should record together. That'd
Stop
be awesome.
Talking about Eddie Money.
He's 57 years old today. Marissa Tomei, another big Eddie Money fan, is 42 years old today. Jay-Z. Got a lot of inspiration from Eddie Money's early works, Jay-Z has said. He's 37 years old today. And Tyra Banks.
Hi, this is Tyra Banks. Bean and I can't come to the phone right now, so leave a message for us at the tone, and we'll get back to you later. Bye.
Because we're busy polishing my forehead.
Oh.
With my boyfriend, Bean.
Tyra Banks really blows. Tyra Banks really blows. Blows.
She's 33 years old today, and this will be her last birthday.
Oh,
so.
Come on.
I'm just saying
right,
it can happen.
Tyra, will we miss you?
I miss you, too.
I love you, baby.
God's
I love
ears. You, too.
I'll talk to you again soon.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
The TV gods are listening.
Yep.
This will be her last birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's hard to tell what's going to capture someone's imagination. I mean, I've dedicated my life to Clyde Tombaugh, the man who discovered the planet Pluto, for instance.
What Kevin, a waste.
Kevin is all about gay porn. I mean, we all have our things.
Oh,
but this
you.
Guy that we're about to talk to, I guess K-Rock listener Brian Spencer's on the line. He's all about the pogo sticks. That's Brian's world right there is pogo sticks. But not just any pogo sticks, magic pogo sticks. Brian, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're good.
Well, it's great to talk to you.
Pogo sticks, Brian?
Pogo sticks. I mean, what's more fun than, you know, bouncing 5 or 6 feet in the air on a pogo stick?
Well,
you want us to start with the list, or what do you want to? How do you want to do this?
What's your deal? You got a company called Vertego. What are you? Vertego.com. Vertego.
Yeah, Vertego.
You pronounce it Vertego. Okay, you're making your own pogo sticks. Tell me about them.
Well, yeah, I mean, it started off with my cousin Joshua came up with this idea a couple years back, and, you know, we were talking about a pogo stick that could bounce 5 or 6 feet in the air, and, you know, when he mentioned that, I just kind of felt it. I was like, wow, man, let's try to put that together and actually make it happen, and sure enough, we started experimenting with it, and that's sort of a hobby that got out of control, and now, you know, they were fun enough for us that we thought, hey, maybe we could sell a few of these things.
Okay. Now, is there any danger if you're on a pogo stick that goes, you know, 8 feet into the air? Are you getting into an area where it's kind of difficult to stay safe and come down and land all right?
Well, you know, I look at that kind of like freestyle motocross or snowboarding. I mean, you know, you get used to getting 30 or 40 feet up in the air as long as you can land the thing. And you don't start off going that high. You start off kind of low altitude and then kind of crank it up from there.
Are you afraid of getting hit by a plane?
Hasn't happened yet, but I'm looking forward to
how
it.
How much money have you spent in this venture?
We put a couple hundred grand into it, you know, and we're just kind of getting warmed up. You know, it's not about the money. It's more about kind of making a point and just trying to make the product work, make it effective, and have some fun on
Did
it.
Did you just put these two sentences back to back? A couple of hundred grand just getting warmed up.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay. Dude, right. That's a commitment right there. Look, we're not hating on you here, Brian. I think it's awesome that there are people out there who are dedicating their lives to things that the rest of us never would, because otherwise stuff would never get made. Let's face it. If you left it up to me to invent stuff, we'd have nothing. We'd be living in caves with rocks, okay? We wouldn't have a fire yet. I love the fact that you're doing this. I'm just trying to figure out what it is about the pogo stick that inspires you to put $200,000 into building a better one. I mean, for most of us, the pogo sticks that are on the market now are good enough for our pogo sticking needs.
Well, you know, it's more about pushing the limits. I mean, just like anything, I guess, you know, you gotta push the boundaries a little bit. And when we started experimenting with this, we were going, you know, a foot, 2 feet off the ground.
Right.
And we started fine-tuning the design a little bit, and we figured, man, we could get pretty high on this thing. And that was where, for me personally, it was a lot more fun because, you know, I'm kind of an adrenaline junkie. I like to go out and ride motorcycles and surf big waves and, you know, that kind of thing. And this was just an extension of that. But the beauty of pogo sticks is you can do it anywhere. You can do it right in your front yard and get the same sort of adrenaline rush in your driveway than you would get up, you know, going up to Snow Summit or something.
You dropped one of those off here at K-Rock, didn't you, for Lightning?
Yeah.
Because if I recall correctly, we were doing it in the hallway, and Lightning went right up through the roof. His head was he was hanging from the roof with his neck.
It's easy to do.
Yeah, I was doing it where we play the video games out in our lobby, and our program director walked through, and I thought, oh, I'm busted, because it's work time, you know? And he's like, someone take a photo of that. That's awesome. So I'm bouncing there. And for those of you that I wanted to kind of explain how this thing was working, most pogo sticks have a spring inside. That's how they, you know, how they bounce. This uses compressed air with like a valve stem at the top. So depending on how heavy you are, you can fill it or take out the air. So for me, you know, being, you know, fat boy,
huge.
I'm filling
monstrous.
So I'm
way overweight.
No, not that much. But, you know, so I fill it up and I get it right for me. But he was out in the parking lot and he's like, let me show you how it works. And he's bouncing up and down, getting a lot of height. And all of a sudden, boing, right up on top of my brand new van, which measures 7'8". I know because I can't get in some parking structures.
Wow.
So almost 8 foot. He stands there. He's like, hey, how's this? I'm like, you're denting my van.
He thought it was a K-Rock van, right?
He thought it was a K-Rock van, yeah.
Which we would have been fine with him denting.
Exactly.
Hey, Brian, what is the world? Is there a world record for how high someone can go on a pogo stick?
Yeah, and I actually said it. I mean, I'm an old guy. I'm 35 years old, but I thought, hey, well, I've got a stick that can do it. I'm going to go ahead and get my name in the book. And we actually said it last summer at about 6 feet.
Are you in the Guinness book?
Well, I don't know if it's in the latest print edition, but it's actually, you know, it's an official record, so I'm not sure when it'll come out. But it was in June this last year.
I'm sorry, I was flapping my gums when you said how high was it?
Well, we set it actually intentionally kind of low, about 6 feet, because we were planning on breaking it again here soon. But
well, that's a bogus record. Hey, I can go way higher, but I'd like to break it again.
Exactly. Well, we set it kind of low again just to, so we could set it again. But, you know, it's 6 feet over a bar, so you're taking yourself and the pogo stick over the bar, and, of course, you have to land it. You can't just wipe out.
Is this turning into a business for you, or is it just throwing money down a well?
No, man, I quit my day job, you know, about 5 or 6 months ago, and it's definitely turning into to a little business. You'd be surprised how many people are out there, you know, kind of fanatical about pogo sticks.
If you would have told me that some guy in 2006 was going to make a living with pogo sticks, I would have thought you were crazy.
It was bizarre. I was in a Yamaha dealership about 3 weekends ago, and there were 3 different pogo manufacturers with their pogo sticks hanging on the walls. It's like the latest craze for the kids.
What's happening?
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
Well, there's something. I mean, you guys have all been on a trampoline, right?
Of course, yeah, sure.
And have you ever seen a girl on a trampoline?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever seen a girl on a pogo stick?
No, I haven't, actually.
Well, You gotta look around.
Just
there's
as good, huh?
On our website, I think.
Brian knows how to sell a product. I'll
yes,
tell you that.
He does.
All right. Well, let's get one for Lisa for Christmas for starters. We already got to do that. All right, Brian. Let me tell folks again if they want more information or they can buy them, right? They can go to vertigo.com and buy the pogo stick, right?
Yeah, vertigo.com. You can also go to propogo.com. And
okay.
And, just to be clear too, this is an awesome cross training tool for anyone that's interested in getting back in shape for wintertime sports. I mean, it really works your legs and your back and your arms, kind of like riding a wild bronco. So it's a killer workout. Too.
It's a good idea, but I want to spell Vertigo again for people because it's spelled all honked up the way you've got it. Vertigo, according to your site, is V-U-R-T-E-G-O, vertigo.com.
We're pretty good on pogo sticks. We're not the best spellers.
There's also a silent H someplace in there. I'm not sure. Right.
Brian, I'm glad you came on, dude. It's awesome. Congratulations on what you're doing and good luck to you, right?
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, bye now.
Kevin DeBees, What It Do, Nephew.
And
sorry, we got a prize. I thought you might play that. Sorry.
What It Do, Nephew.
Thank you very much. And here's what you get, a prize for being on the air today. It's a pair of tickets to see your Los Angeles Kings take on the Dallas Stars at Staples Center Saturday, December 16th. Kevin, it says here you should see hockey the way it was meant to be.
Oh, it's so live. Fun. That's so fun to go to a live hockey
game. Best live sporting event there is.
It is, I agree. All right, let's take your phone calls. Let's start with George in Los Angeles. Good morning, George. What'd it do, nephew?
Morning, Kevin Bean, Ralph, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Good morning, George.
I work at a new and used car lot, and I was walking through the lot, and I hear this, like, mouse-like whining, and I look in the back of a Tahoe, and I see two midgets effing.
No, you didn't see two midgets having sex in the back of a car.
Yes, I did.
No, I think people have learned that you can use the word midget and you get on the air and win a prize. I think is what's going on here.
Yeah, I think I get the same.
I don't like the Kings. I don't even like the Kings.
Why Dude, bite your tongue.
I get the same vibe.
Kings blow.
All right, we're going to put you on hold then. You don't get a prize. How do you like that? We're going to put you on hold and you don't get a prize. So you have to wait for nothing. So we come back to you.
You think he'll stay on the phone?
Yes.
Waiting
all
for
day.
His no prize?
Yes, he will. Javier in West Covina, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hello, Lisa May.
Hi, Javier.
What did you do, nephew?
Yeah, so there's this genius of a mechanic who was doing some body work on a Carrera GT, and those are about $700,000 cars.
Worth every penny, I imagine.
And then minor body work, a little bit of paint, decides to personally deliver it to the owner, and runs it straight into a foam pole, totals the car.
Totals the car?
Oh, no way, no. Really?
Wow. Awesome.
I would have prayed for death on that impact.
Awesome.
Oh my God.
That's cool.
And there were two midgets in the back seat having sex.
And then they reached underneath their seats, and there was a videotape. Oh, never mind. That's a whole different thing. All right, let's go to Chris in Long Beach. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. How are you?
Hi, Chris.
What it do, nephew?
Well, what it do, nephew?
So I'm watching that One versus 100.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching that every week. Pretty good show. My wife tells me, hey, there's going to be a special guest. You'll love it. So I get all excited, think it's going to be someone cool. It's Kevin frickin' Federline on One versus 100 on Friday.
Yeah, we were talking to Bob Saget about that, and he was in the mob, right?
Yes, it was pretty bad.
And he got one right? He got one question right?
He got the one right about the Mickey Mouse Club, shockingly enough.
Yeah.
About his damn wife.
Did Bob at some point say,
ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Federline!
Yeah, we were hassling him about that on Friday because he was working with Kevin Federline.
And a little too excited about it.
Yeah.
It was bad news.
Very much so.
Right, that is that's a real good show, though, and Bob does a good job on it. I've been enjoying that One versus 100 as well.
I have not seen it yet.
It's really good.
I have a lot of time for the game shows.
That isn't good for you.
Right.
A lot of good ones out there.
Are there?
What do you guys think the longest candy cane ever made is? What do you suppose?
The one I'm going to stuff right up your ass.
Seriously, Bean, shut up.
You're correct, Ralph. 58 feet. Oh. Paul Ginelli, a Michigan candy maker, made a 58 feet long candy cane in 1999. So that's the record.
Oh, Bean, I wish I knew how to quit you.
Me too. Jason in Chino, good morning. Hello, Jason. Oh, that's a good story right there.
Well, you should tell it.
Shoot. He said he had a buddy on a cruise,
and he
knows that we're going to play Everlong for the tickets to go on sale, so he was listening on the net from a cruise ship.
Wow.
That's got to be expensive.
No,
that's got to be way more than the tickets.
Plus, there's a delay on the internet, so when the people who listen to real radio hear it, he'll probably be like, I don't know, 10 seconds behind, and all the phones will already be tied up. All the phone lines will be busy by the time he gets to them.
Yeah, we haven't played the song yet, for those of you listening, but it is coming up soon. Oscar in Glendora.
Or not.
Soon or not. It has to be this week, obviously, because shows are on Saturday night.
Right.
Oscar, hi.
Hey, how you doing? What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
What it do, Oscar?
Yeah, I'm calling to talk about my sister's cans.
All right, then. How are they?
All right. Are they good cans?
Hey, they're nice. You know, the best part about it is I get to see my sister lick Lisa May.
Oscar, who are you talking about?
Oh, this is the guy. We talked to Christina this morning that said her brother was talking to him to it.
Christina Marie.
You're creepy, Oscar.
You're as creepy as hell.
You are seriously
creepy.
No
kidding. Here's a little bit of her this morning,
Sean. The special talent I did was the Spanish dance, and I entered a few of them as a little girl, and I won them, so the nickname stuck with me.
Her name is Chi-Chi or Cha-Cha or something like that.
Chi-Chi.
I don't know what it was. Oscar.
All right, Oscar.
We find it a little...
sick.
Creepy that you encourage your sister to be our Miss Double December.
Hey, you know, it's like this. My sister's always inspired to be a model or actress, and I'm just encouraging her to follow her dream.
Good for you, Oscar.
You know, and Kevin and Bean,
yeah.
You're the man.
You're the man combined.
Are each of us a half of a man, then?
Together you make one man.
That's all. All right, thanks for the call.
Well, if you didn't get a chance to hear the lovely Christine this morning, we talked to her and we talked to Kichi. They are two of the 10 finalists for the K-Rock Miss Double December 2007. You can go to krock.com, go to the Kevin and Bean section, see all 10 ladies, read a brief bio, an interview with each, and then you can vote. And I guess at the end of the show Friday, we decide who gets to represent the show next year for us. And that lady also will be making her debut at K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas this weekend.
Yay, 106.7 K-Rock.
Rodney, what are you doing?
Rodney, we're busy.
I'm out of here.
All right.
Us two.
Go.
Say goodnight and
I'll
get some sleep. Jeez. I doubt it. Never get sleep where I live.
What?
I'm a robot. Okay. But
you're a robot.
Anyway, I'm out of here.
All right.
Hopefully everything will work
you're
out.
You're a robot? I hope everything works out, too.
Be safe and sane on Halloween.
Okay, so wait,
remember, don't eat those apples with the razor blades.
Dude,
on
it's
them.
December 4th.
But him being a robot explains so much.
True. I never get sleep.
All right.
I hope everything works out. That's a nice message for everybody.
Battery?
Coach Madden, you enjoy that from Rodney?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's okay.
All right.
Good. I want to thank all of our many guests on the Kevin and Bean Show today, including, what's the dude's name here?
Gotham Sharma.
Brian Spencer.
Site.
Yes, oh. Brian Spencer with the Vertigo Pogo Stick. Congratulations. Thanks for coming on the show. Also, Gotham Sharma, SugarDaddyForMe.com is the site. Tomorrow, though, huge guests. I know it seemed like we were slacking today, but tomorrow, woo, look out. Kevin, tell them who we got.
Guests.
We got two more Miss Double December contestants.
Yes.
We'll be talking
nothing
about
wrong
that.
Nothing wrong with that. And we don't want to talk to any of their brothers.
No, especially
tomorrow.
The creepy ones who promote their boobs.
That would not be good. No. Also tomorrow, a feature we call Lightning Strikes. Every once in a while, he is so spectacular that we must put him on the air.
Every once in a while, every day.
I know, but we try not to drive people crazy with him. He's like the Armenian comedian. A little bit goes a long ways. Also tomorrow, we're going to talk about bad Christmas parties.
Oh, good, because we have some of those.
Bad office Christmas parties. We've had some really bad ones in the past.
Yes, we have.
We did a boat where we actually talked people into coming out with boats that they had boats so that they could rescue us. We could get off if we needed to.
You know, now that the bad man is gone, who used to make us have all those horrible parties on a Thursday afternoon in a hotel down by the airport, maybe things will start to look up around here.
Yeah, well.
This year's was on a Thursday afternoon.
Do you know that?
Yeah, everyone got the invitation.
No. I didn't.
Oh. Well, you should have.
What is it?
It's a Thursday afternoon party at a crappy bar in Hollywood.
On really?
Yes, somewhere on Coenga.
Oh, no.
Yes.
What time does it start?
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock?
4 to 7.
And you can't bring a significant other, right?
No, of course not. Go Stag, 4 to 7, at a dive bar on Coenga.
Excellent.
Wow.
It'll probably be like a half hour, and then you have to pay for your own alcohol.
You get one drink ticket for any well drink and light domestic beer. And then after that, it's all cash.
That is hardly worth even leaving work from early.
Yep.
It's almost worth staying at work, even though that's not our policy.
Saying. I believe you guys didn't get the invite. Maybe you're not on the list.
I think we're not on the list. We must not have been good this year. Also on tomorrow's show, we got Bob Dylan to tell us about his latest satellite radio show.
Okay.
Kat Corbett's up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. This ain't a scene, it's an arm race. That's new music from Fall Out Boy coming up. Also, Gorillaz, Social D, 30 Seconds to Mars, and something from the Foo Fighters is going to be played with Kat Corbett. 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock next after this on the World.